out. Me, me, me. Me, 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 me. Okay. Here we go. 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 Here we go.
Film, television, and pop culture. It's where you find it.
So you're gonna tell me that you don't have no black cats, no Roman candles, or screaming memes?
No.
Oh, come on, man. You don't got no lady fingers, buzz buttles, snicker bombs, church burners, finger blasters, gut busters, zippity doodahs, or crap flappers?
No, I don't.
You're going to stand there owning a fireworks stand and tell me you don't have no whistling bungholes, no spleen splitters, whisker biscuits, honky lighters, hoosker do's, hoosker don'ts, cherry bombs, nips and dazers, with or without the scooter stick, or one single whistling kitty chaser?
No. Fashionable mail, don't you?
Yeah, so?
That's a great store you got there.
Thanks. Listen, I'm trying to spend my lunch hour with my lady friend here, okay? So, it should be.
Oh, that's your girlfriend, right there?
But look, if you don't stop gawking at me and get the hell out of here, I'm gonna kick your ass, okay?
Hey, haven't you ever heard the phrase, the customer's always right?
Let me tell you, give you a little secret, okay?
The customer's always an asshole.
I think we got started off on the wrong foot. Stan Goodspeed, FBI. Let's talk music. Do you like the Elton John song, Rocket Man?
I don't like soft-ass shit.
Oh, you don't? Well, I only bring it up because, it's you. You're the Rocket Man.
Lydia, oh Lydia, say have you met Lydia? Lydia the tattooed lady. She has eyes that folks adore so, and a torso even more so. Lydia, oh Lydia, that encyclopedia. Oh Lydia, the queen of tattoo. On her back is the Battle of Waterloo. Beside it, the wreck of the Hesperus too. And proudly above waves the red, white, and blue. You can learn a lot from Lydia. When a robe is unfurled, she will show you the world. If you step up and tell her where. For a dime, you can see Kankakee or Paris or Washington crossing the Delaware. Unveiling the trilon. Over on the west coast we have Treasure Island. Is Nijinsky a doing the rumba? Is her social security number? Oh Lydia, oh Lydia, that encyclopedia. Oh Lydia, the champ of the world. She once swept an admiral clear off his feet. The ships on her hips made his heart skip a beat. And now the old boy's in command of the fleet. For he went and married Lydia. I said Lydia.
He said Lydia.
They said Lydia.
We said Lydia.
La, la.
Woo! Hey, why not? Hey, everybody. Hey, it's Friday or something like that. Hey, welcome to the show. It's Nowhere Mulberry. Hey! Film, television, pop culture. That's what we talk about. Welcome to the show. I don't do the show alone. I'm Jason, by the way. I do it with Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry historian. How are you doing today, sir?
I am excellent.
I just want to say right off that Bill did the bulk of the work for this show. Thank you, Bill. Hey.
No.
That's me doing all the claps right there. I'm not going to cheapen it by having some, you know, drop of people clapping. I'm going to clap, okay?
Yeah. That makes it so much better.
Yes. I hope so.
I think it does.
But as Steven said last week, he wouldn't be here. He's busy riding a motorcycle across Colorado, I guess, or something.
Sounds like a grand old time.
I don't know. I kind of half listened when he was telling us.
Let's just hope he's wearing a helmet.
Yeah, I worry about that guy. I see how sleepy he is, and this is what this is what I wonder, because I think about this myself. If I'm riding a motorcycle, because this happens when I'm driving, you start to daydream and kind of look off.
Yeah, and you kind of like shock yourself awake, like, and you just, you know.
But what if
you fall asleep on a motorcycle, you're screwed.
Yeah, aren't you? And riding...
I would think so.
So I'm thinking Steven does not need to be riding a motorcycle.
No, not until he gets a sleep study or something.
I mean, oh my God, just like... You know what's funny is on the on my iPod, I got this program. I told you about this where... It has sleep sounds, or it has like waves and crickets and stuff like that, and it helps soothe you to sleep. I played Steven 2 seconds of it, and he fell asleep. It was just like...
Awesome. Now you know what to do if you're ever being annoyed by him somewhere. You just,
turn
that on.
Turn on some crickets, and he is just out like a light. It's a perfect way to get him
asleep. Maybe it's narcoleptic. Is that what it is when you fall asleep at inopportune times?
I think so. Oh, man. Oh, I'm awake. But anyway, I wanted to say this real quick, that people might have had trouble downloading the show from Wednesday on during the week. There's something happening with our host, Bill. I don't know what they're doing to the files. They're somehow changing the files. I don't know.
Okay, which host was this that we were using?
Gcast.
Okay.
And the reason we've been using it is because it's free. We did use SwitchPod. SwitchPod went out of business, so we were kind of screwed.
Yeah.
But I'd always been using Gcast for Mulberry Old School. You know, just all of those shows hosted. I didn't, you know, it was just like, oh, this is perfect. You know,
it was easy, and it was the right price.
Right. And it's, you know, it's a real simple interface, but it didn't matter. It's just so people could listen to our old shows. But then when we lost SwitchPod... Then Libsyn was like, hey, for double the price, you could get the same service over here. And I was like, I don't want to do that.
Gee, that's so tempting. But
I'll just host our stuff on Gcast like Mulberry Old School. We've never had a problem with Gcast before. I'll use that. And, of course, what happens when you do? Then they start doing something. I saw some kind of announcement like, we're going to make this friendly for phones and cell phones and mobile network. I don't know what they're talking about, but whatever they're doing is monkeying with...
They're screwing it up.
Their stored files. So what I did is I went and just paid for another host for a year. The same host we've been using for the enhanced podcast. Hopefully everything's back to normal now. So if anyone had trouble listening to our last show or downloading it, try now. It should work. Okay, hopefully people just get it right when it comes out on Tuesday so they had no problem, Bill.
Yeah, hopefully.
Real quick, Bill, I just want to remind everyone, you know, I want to mention it every episode that the last week of July we'll cover the drawing of the three. We'll do that show. And I'm starting to think that, you know, I was thinking about it, it's like Steven's not going to be involved in any of this because there's no way he's going to catch up with us.
No.
So we're going to go ahead and Steven's out, right?
Poor Steven.
Hey, I didn't mean to scare you there, but did you notice the shadow people in the intro? Huh?
I you know, it's very scary for me because I don't do the show with any lights on. I just have the monitor lighting everything.
Oh, sorry about that. Yeah, I know.
That's
some scary shit, isn't it?
What's wrong with you?
I love in that scene, you know, Patrick Swayze goes, "You're dead, Willie." And all of a sudden, you hear that sound.
Help me.
And they come and take Willie away. It's pretty scary, man.
I hate construction paper matte paintings.
I think it was Sharpie on the actual film is how
on
that was animated. That was awesome.
And it was funny. It was like every 10 frames they colored it in because it just looked so jittery.
When you first watch it, it had a kind of a creepy quality to it.
Now it's just laughable.
It's almost like it looked so bad it made it even more creepy. I don't know.
Yeah.
But my favorite part about that whole scene is the look of horror on Patrick Swayze's face as he's watching Willie being pulled away into the shadows.
It's much like the same look when he pulls the throat out of the guy in Roadhouse.
Oh, dude. You know, if he would have done that in Ghost, the shadow people would have taken him too, I think. Don't you think?
Maybe he could have pulled a shadow person's throat out.
I wonder how you fight a shadow people. Here's what I was thinking. Vacuum cleaner.
I think that's how Luigi found them in Luigi's Mansion.
Vacuum up those bastards.
Yeah, you just vacuum them right off the wall, wherever shadow's being casted. But you have to use a Dyson.
Oh, definitely.
It's the only one with that containment field.
And he's also the guy who, you know, helps Cyberdyne. But
yeah.
Anyway, wow. Miles Bennett
Miles
Dyson.
Dyson.
Let's go ahead and skip over that, Bill. And I want to talk about Emmy nominations real quick before we play a voicemail that we got. Now,
okay.
We don't pay a lot of attention to the Emmys. We would if something we really liked got nominated. Like, for instance, I think it's cool that NPH was nominated. That's pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
It's also pretty cool that The Mentalist was nominated, right?
Yeah, I do enjoy the Patrick Jane character Simon Baker does in The Mentalist. That is cool.
He is really good in that. And I still can't understand how Connie Britton gets looked over every time.
I don't understand how Kyle Chandler, Connie Britton, who else deserves something from that show? All of them. I don't understand how the show's getting passed over for best drama.
I don't know, but what shows were best drama? What were the best drama nominees?
Okay, outstanding drama series. Big Love, HBO.
Fantastic show. I love it. I love that show
Breaking
so much.
Breaking Bad, AMC.
Heard it's good, never watched it.
Same here. This one I agree with. Damages, FX. One of the best shows on television.
You've always told me it's good. I still haven't watched it. I still need to get Damages from Netflix.
Love Damages. The first season particularly. Second season was pretty good too, but... next show, Dexter, Showtime.
Also a great show.
Great show, but outstanding drama series?
I'm going for Big Love still. I'm still on that one.
House on Fox.
Haven't watched it in a couple of seasons.
It's not outstanding drama, I'll tell you that much. Easily, Dexter or House easily could have been substituted for Friday Night Lights.
Oh, definitely.
Lost, ABC.
It was great this season.
It was excellent this season. Probably the best season they've had. And Mad Men, AMC.
I still haven't watched season two. You know what, Bill? I mailed in Push on Saturday, so I get Mad Men Disc 1 on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Still, my disc hasn't arrived with Netflix. I'm starting to freak out a little bit. You know, because you get an email saying, "Hey, so-and-so arrived. What day did you ship it or send it?" And I still haven't gotten that, so it's lost in the mail somewhere.
Wow.
I don't know what the hell's going on.
You know what? If you don't get it by Monday, I would probably report it as lost.
Okay.
Just go on the website and report it as lost.
I'm going to have to because this is ridiculous. I mean, it usually takes like literally 2 days and then they get the disc. Now it's been it's been a whole week.
I used to always lose them in the mail. My mail person, I think, stole them.
He was like, oh, I'm a big Chris Evans fan. I'm going to keep this shit.
Push.
Wow.
Customer's always an asshole.
Hey. Yeah, that is true, though. Now, I want to know what best comedy is.
All right. Outstanding comedy series. I love how the nominations are outstanding. Entourage, HBO.
No, it was horrible season last
year. I know. What the hell? Family Guy.
No.
Flight of the Conchords.
No.
How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah. I like How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah. The Office.
Yeah.
30 Rock.
Yeah. You notice you don't get a, yeah, you get a,
yeah.
Weeds is a great show. I would say give it to Weeds or 30 Rock. Mm-hmm. But Entourage, it was horrible last season. What the hell? There's so many better comedies on TV than that.
Yeah. There's much, much better.
I can't think of any at the moment, but there are, Bill. But I definitely know Entourage and Family Guy should not be nominated. Come on.
But they expanded the list. I think they made two more spots for each outstanding series.
Really?
So that they could fit more people onto it that deserved it. And what did they do? They put more people on it that didn't deserve it.
Now, here's what I'm interested in. Best dramatic actor and actress.
Okay, best dramatic actor and actress. Hugh Laurie for House.
Okay, he's always good.
Michael C. Hall for Dexter.
He's great as Dexter.
Simon Baker as Patrick Jane in The Mentalist.
Yeah, we've already mentioned how much we love that.
Gabriel Byrne as Paul in Treatment.
Byrne as in Sizzle. Yeah, he's great on that show. Very subdued.
When I've watched it, I've liked him in it.
It's a really good show. I kind of got into it just having it on. You know, Heather would be watching it, and I'd kind of look over my shoulder from the computer, and then I'd go, hey, no, what happened here? I'm going to have to go back and watch it. You know, I started getting into it.
Bryan Cranston for Breaking Bad.
You know what? I need to rent season one of Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
That's it. I got to watch this show.
I've meant to watch it for the longest time. And John Hamm for Mad Men.
He's fantastic on that show. That does not anger me, that category. Now, let's hear female. Best
female drama series.
Actress, yes.
Mariska Hargitay for Special Victims Unit.
Yes.
Well, that was...
That show's a guilty pleasure, Bill. There's no way that show deserves an Emmy.
No, it's terrible.
Oh, yeah, Foggy. She's definitely a cougar.
That horrible Mike Myers movie, The Love Guru... His mantra is Mariska Hargitay.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Everywhere he goes, Mariska Hargitay.
What does that even mean?
And guess what? At the very beginning of the movie, who shows up whenever he says Mariska Hargitay?
Who? Mariska Hargitay?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a joke that falls flat from the first one, and then she shows up, and it's even worse, and it just continues.
You know, I don't just like that actress. I'm actually in love with that actress. I can watch
her. Yeah, she's just hot.
I can watch her do anything. I just like...
If you put blonde hair on her, she looks exactly like her mom.
You know,
Jane Mansfield.
There was this hilarious episode where, you know, next week, you know, and she's like... A hooker. She's got to go undercover. And I'm like, oh, okay, writers.
Oh, I'm totally watching that shit.
Yeah, I would just see the writers like, how do we get Mariska in a skimpy outfit? I know, undercover prostitute. And it was funny. She was like, you want a date? It was hilarious.
Yes, I do want a date.
So who else is in this category? Yes, I do
want a date. Kira Sedgwick, who's looking more and more bizarre as the years go on.
She's great on that show.
She needs
closer.
To lay off the plastic surgery.
I don't know. She doesn't look like she's had that to me.
She was just on one of those late night talk shows.
Majorly.
I forget which show she was on, but she looked more like Amy Sedaris than Kira Sedgwick. I was just like,
I honestly think all actresses should lay that off that.
Yeah. Holly Hunter in Saving Grace.
Yeah, I don't watch that.
Yeah, not interested. it could be excellent, and I wouldn't care. Sally Field in Brothers and Sisters, another show I'd never watch.
Yeah, don't watch that.
Elizabeth Moss as Peggy Olson in Mad Men.
Oh, okay. Who does she play on there?
Peggy Olson.
I'm trying to.
She's got green eyes.
She must be John Hamm's secretary. She is great on that. She's great on that show.
And Glenn Close is Patty Hughes in Damages. If there's anybody in the list that should win it should be her.
Yeah, why not?
Why not? Yeah, why not?
All right, now, just real quick, comedy.
All right, lead actor, comedy. Steve Carell in The Office. Tony Shalhoub in Monk.
Jesus, how long has he been doing that show?
I know. Jermaine Clement in Flight of the Conchords.
Okay.
Jim Parsons as Sheldon Cooper in The Big Bang Theory. Alec Baldwin for 30 Rock and Charlie Sheen for 2 and a Half Men.
Wow.
Should he really get a nomination? He's a terrible actor. He's just being himself, I think.
I know. I don't know.
I think he's a womanizing asshole in real life, too. So
I know. Just after hearing all that shit that he does to his ex-wives.
I know.
He sounds like such a prick. I don't want him to win anything. And, you know, hey, maybe his ex-wives are insane, but still, I believe he's insane, too. So I think that the shadow people are coming for Charlie Sheen.
I'm so sorry. Oh, there they are.
Charlie, run! They'll catch you wherever there's a shadow in the room. So
they will. You have to stay in a fully lit room.
You have to go in a completely white room with really bright light bulbs.
Yeah.
Except
maybe like a grow room or something.
Like that room in Willy Wonka where they do the Wonka vision, maybe something like that.
Yes, exactly. No shadows. Because even the littlest shadow can turn into a shadow person, and then that's it for you.
Maybe if it was just a little shadow, it would just tug on his foot, but it wouldn't be strong enough to pull
him
away.
But it would still drag him to hell.
It'd be like, okay, whatever. Oh, by the way, best actress in comedy. I want to hear that real quick.
Sarah Silverman for the Sarah Silverman Program.
Never watched that show, honestly.
No, I tried watching it once and had to turn it off. It was just so bad. I mean, there's so many great comedians in it, but she's just unbearable. Mary Louise Parker for Weeds.
Yeah, she's good on that.
Yeah, Julia Louis-Dreyfus for The New Adventures of Old Christine. Even just reading that title of that show gives me douche chills. It's just like, ugh. Toni Collette for The United States of Tara.
I never watched a show, never gave it a chance. Just the commercials got on my nerves.
I watched one episode. That was all I needed to see.
Ugh. Isn't that created by What's-Her-Face?
Yeah.
Diablo Cody and Steven Spielberg joint or something. I don't know.
A Diablo Cody joint.
I don't like soft ass shit.
Oh, okay.
Christina Applegate for Samantha Who.
I've still never seen this show. I don't even know
that
when
show
it comes
is
on.
So bad. They put it on after Dancing with the Stars, and I watch it sometimes just because I don't want to get up off the couch and the remote's too far away.
Wow.
And Tina Fey as Liz Lemon for 30 Rock.
Oh, come on, man.
Yeah, why not? Give it to Liz Lemon. You know what's funny? One year that I think last year she won, or maybe I don't know if it was a Golden Globe or it was an Emmy, but she joked that in her acceptance speech that all she was doing was imitating Julia Louis-Dreyfus from Seinfeld. She's like, I'm just doing her mannerisms. It was pretty funny.
Excellent.
But, is there anything in the Emmys that got you excited? Like, oh, that's cool they nominated this, or, you know, documentary. Anything that made you...
Not really, no. I think possibly Friday Night Lights got one nomination for, like, cinematography or something. Just give it to it.
You know what? I love Friday Night Lights, but cinematography is not one of its best things.
No, it's a one camera. There's no blocking. It's all off the cuff.
Maybe that's why they're like, hey, this is so interesting that it's not done like the usual system.
I don't know. Mm. Or maybe it was art direction. I can't remember.
Yeah.
It doesn't really
matter.
What
I know.
It just still was. It was like a, let's just give it to them so they'll shut up about something.
Okay, one thing before we move on. I want to know best reality show. Do they do that?
Okay, yeah, they do. Competition or just program?
Both. Okay.
Okay. Outstanding reality competition program. Okay. Top Chef.
Oh.
Project Runway.
Oh.
The Amazing Race. I love the guy, the executive producer of Amazing Race. His name is Bertram Van Munster.
Cool name. I like the Japanese version of that.
Yeah, it's much better. Dancing with the Stars.
Okay.
And American Idol.
Give it to Top Chef.
Yeah, I agree.
It's the only one I can watch.
Standard reality program. My Life on the D-List. Bravo.
Ooh.
Dirty Job.
Bravo.
Discovery Channel. Mythbusters, Discovery Channel.
Hey, these aren't real reality shows.
I know.
What about
Antiques Roadshow?
Hey, where's the VH1 shows?
I love the 80s. Now, Dog Whisperer, National Geographic.
Oh.
And Intervention, A&E.
Wow, they really don't count the VH1 shows, do they?
No, of course not.
The award goes to Brooke Knows Best. You know, that was on
the episode where Brooke kisses another girl.
You know what's creepy about that show? Seriously, Brooke Hogan's mom is dating a guy that looks like her brother, and her dad is dating a girl that looks like her. What the hell?
Yeah, it's so screwed up. And Brooke Hogan looks like her dad.
All she
needs is that handlebar mustache.
You know what she looks like to me? She looks like Cameron Diaz is allergic to bees and got stung by a hive. She's all swollen up.
So she's like swollen duck face.
Yeah. Wow. All right. Well, that's the Emmy. So uninteresting. Sorry to bore everybody with that. But, hey, Bill, we got a voicemail from Luke. Let's check it out. Luke. Kick his ass, Luke. Take his wallet, Luke. Oh, let's check this out.
Hey, Mulberry guys. This is Luke. I'm a big fan of the podcast. I've been listening since episode 17, I think. And I've never called in for a voicemail, so I figured I'd do that. I was listening to some old episodes, and I realized one of the things I miss about the way you guys used to do the show was the random zombie killing. I don't know why, it just makes me laugh every time you guys will be talking and Jason would just go, "Oh yeah, that movie looks good. Steven, look out!" And it would just crack me up. So, I mean, you know, you guys could just maybe throw in one random zombie attack every few episodes. That'd be really cool. You know,
I think
you don't
we
have to make a whole episode
all.
About it because I'm like some other douchebags. I know you guys don't have a lot of free time, so just, you know, if you could just do that, that'd be really awesome.
Okay, we'll
I'm
going
to get off now because I'm starting to ramble, and I'm not as entertaining as Rick the Drunken Australian, so give up the good show. Later.
No one is entertaining as Rick.
Bill, look out! Oh, my God! Yay, you killed it. Awesome. We kind of laid off the zombies for a bit, I guess. I don't know.
That's because we cleared that area. We could always go out into the woods and clear it, but it's just too dangerous.
Yeah, I'm thinking that maybe one day the zombies will come back.
They're just biding their time.
You know, speaking of Rick the Drunken Australian, I don't know if he wanted that title, but...
I think he's just Rick the Australian.
A long time ago, he sent me a picture of how listening to Mulberry made him feel, and it's a picture of him smiling with two thumbs up.
Uh-huh.
But as a joke for his voicemail in the Enhanced Podcast, I put his picture in the Enhanced Podcast. So anyone who checked that out sees Rick doing his thumbs up during his thing, and all of a sudden there's Rick's face on the podcast. So
hopefully he doesn't mind.
So anybody who sends in a voicemail you want to send your picture to, I'll put it in the Enhanced Podcast. Why not? But thanks a lot, Luke. Hopefully that's not your last voicemail. You send many more to come, my friend. Thank you very much. Awesome. Now, Bill, what do you say we get into entertainment? Yeah! Yes, all right, entertainment. I believe Harry Potter has already made a shitload of money, Bill.
Harry Potter.
They did, what is it? They did that midnight showing, and it was like a record-setting midnight showing or something.
That was on the news that night. It's just like all these freaking dorks dressed up like Harry Potter.
Harry, respect to Patronum.
Didn't they Hogwarts notebook?
You know what I'd do is I'd have my fake owl on my shoulder or something like that. You'd just be totally geeky. But, yeah. I don't know if I'll see this in the theater. I say I am every year. Don't know if that's going to happen. But mainly, I want to talk more about Bruno, Bill. Because yes. You saw Bruno.
Yeah, I did.
And before you talk about it, I want to hear what Barbara Walters thought of Bruno. So let's check out what she thought first, and then you will try to upstage her. What do you say?
Okay, I will.
It's Sacha Baron Cohen, mm-hmm. who did Borat, which right. I thought was very funny.
Right.
I have a couple of problems with this. If you are a parent, do not bring your child to this movie. There are close-ups, which Joy did not mention,
yeah,
of penises and pubic hair, as close as this, with it wagging like this. All right, now this is going to make you all want to see this movie, and that's why I'm sorry to go through this. This is a movie that purports to make people who are homophobic no more. I think this will make people, if you're not homophobic, it could make you. I don't need to know how you are doing anal intercourse.
Oh, wow.
You all want to go see this movie now, right?
Wow.
I also mind the fact that, again, like Borat, it takes unsuspecting people, the little people, and makes fun of them. I don't like seeing close-ups of anal sex.
There are no midgets
I don't
in
like
it.
Seeing close-ups of Sacha Baron Cohen's... This is a movie that is... I'm almost as pornographic as any pornographic thing that I've seen. Oh. That's in your neighborhood movie theater.
Wow, that's a pretty scathing review there, Bill.
With it wagging like this.
Whoa, I guess she... Is there a lot of penis in the movie or something?
There is. There's one scene in particular where the character of Bruno wants to get on television and do an interview show, much like Byron Allen. He wants to do something like where he's interviewing celebrities. He does this thing where he does the show, and then they bring in a test audience. And after he does a couple little things, he does an interview with one of these reality girls, and they make fun of different celebrities and their kids. Then there's like this little interlude where it's just a guy flapping his penis around. I mean, full on big screen. Male member flapping around in circles back and forth, up and down. And it cuts, of course, to the people in the test audience room, like basically ready to walk out. And then the penis goes erect and the hole says Bruno. And then the people are just like, oh my God. I laughed my ass off at that. I thought it was so absurd and disgusting that I had to laugh. And there's a lot of moments like that in the movie. But yes, it is very graphic. I wouldn't say pornographic. There are scenes of Bruno with his little gay Asian partner doing various things. But they're so absurd.
Right.
Like slingshotting him across the room onto his penis kind of stuff.
Okay.
I mean, it's just so absurd. You just have to laugh at it. But, I mean, of course you wouldn't
like
take
this?
Children to this. You don't even have to say that for a movie like this.
Now, did you like the movie or?
Not really. I mean, I found it's kind of a pandering type of comedy where you try to be outrageous, but it's under the guise of I'm being satirical or I'm bringing up a social commentary about people and everything. But it's just, there's too much. Yeah, I understand that these people are stupid, that the people, you know, the Westboro Baptist Church people that picket gay funerals or anything like that, you know, that's how they are. And yeah, we know that they're stupid, but it's that. It's like driving that into the ground over and over again. People that are homophobic or bigots or, you know, there's that point where he does the thing with the black child. He goes to Africa, gets himself a black child, and then goes on the Richard Bay show and says that he named him OJ and that it's his own child. And, of course, the audience doesn't know what's going on, and they get all up in arms about it. And it just...
Right, most of what it is about is playing it against people who don't know who he is, right?
Exactly.
They think it's real, and how they react, that's the movie, basically, right? That's the comedy.
Yeah, it's that. It's Borat with much more gayness and much more sexual things.
Would you say Borat worked better, and Bruno's just kind of like trying to repeat the success of Borat?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, I haven't seen Bruno, but that's what it felt like to me. And, you know, some things were funny in the trailer, like the trading an iPod for the little black kid or whatever. But the thing with, like, wearing the Velcro outfit and everything sticking to him, that looks so, like, just bad
comedy.
Yeah,
and that's what opens the movie.
I mean,
he goes to this fashion show, and he goes into it, and he's trying to interview people, and his Velcro suit gets caught on everything, and he... like stumbles out onto the walkway or runway covered in all the clothes and everything. That wasn't particularly funny. There were some really good laughs in it, but
did it fall completely flat? The clothes sticking all over him?
Oh, totally. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Because certain fabrics wouldn't stick to Velcro, would they?
No.
It's a completely staged scene, isn't it? It's not real.
How else is he going to stumble out onto a walkway?
Yeah, happens to stumble out on the walkway. It's just like, if the whole movie, it's almost like this, certain scenes are played for real, like this is how people are reacting to him, but also there's staged moments to give the movie a storyline, right?
Yeah.
The way they balance those things, does that work at all?
It makes you question, like, it's so outlandish that how did this person not know?
Right, right.
There's one moment that I didn't find funny at all. The only thing that was funny was his description of it. He needs to solve a problem of the world to be a celebrity. You know, different celebrities have different causes. George Clooney has Darfur, Brad Pitt has New Orleans, all that stuff. So he says he wants to go to Middle Earth and solve the problem of the Palestinians and the Jewish people.
Oh, okay.
And that was funny. You know, he goes and interviews an actual terrorist. You know, and he's saying that maybe Osama should shave his beard because he looks like an evil Santa Claus. And the guy tells him to get out. You know, it just stuff like that. It's like, huh, that's kind of humorous, but it just doesn't – it's not that funny.
But G.I. Joe, that's the movie both you and I just can't stop talking about. We can't wait to see it. We've already bought our tickets.
I'm so excited.
Yes, and
– I've been looking for an acceleration suit everywhere.
Yeah, what the hell is that anyway?
It accelerates you.
Oh.
How do you like how that shit works?
Oh, that's pretty cool. But when that comes out, we'll talk about that or whatever. Let's go ahead and get into what's on a TiVo, Bill.
Let's do it.
Wow. No. Shadow people. I typed in shadow people on YouTube. Boy, was that a mistake. There's a lot of shadow people stuff on there.
Oh, yeah.
And there was this, I don't know what it was, some cheap news story. It's probably public access thing about shadow people. And the comment section is hilarious. It's all people who believe in that shit. And one person said, be careful. Shadow people can actually come through your computer.
Oh, shit.
So I was like, oh, shit. And I closed the browser.
I better turn my lights on.
I turned the browser off as soon as possible, Bill. it was almost too late.
Ghosts in the machine.
Turn the monitor off. That doesn't happen in Apple's, though. Apparently, Apple computers, ghost people can't come out of. So.
That's because they're so pure. They're made with natural ingredients.
Now, I want to start right off, Bill, with some Big Brother action, okay?
All right.
Big Brother, you know, every year we're like, all right, Big Brother, woo! And then
and then one weekend we're like, oh, Big Brother,
like, oh,
woo.
These people, Jesus, ugh, these people disgust me. Now, I think it was like Tuesday's episode or something like that. They've already been in the house for a while, and they do the first food competition, right? And the brains totally suck at this, where they have to put pipes together to get this liquid to come through.
Who would have thunk?
Turn a wheel. Yeah, mainly because they're both listening to the jackass Ronnie He's like, I'm going to put it in here and do like this. And he doesn't know what the hell he's doing. In fact,
he's an asshole.
You know, it turns out from watching this for a while, that guy, he thinks he himself is really smart. I'm a really smart guy. And what does he even
say? And he doesn't spare the chance to tell everyone.
And what else? Is he an award-winning what?
I'm a persuasive speaking world champion.
What the hell does that mean?
Don't tell anybody.
Yeah, what does that mean? I don't know. He tells Chima that, or Shima, whatever her name is. And she goes, oh, okay. And like, kind of like, what? But when they lose, they lose the food competition, Bill. They get put in the Big Brother torture chamber, I guess. They get put on slot for the week, but also they have to sleep in a room without beds. Oh, my God.
Yeah, oh, my gosh, there's camp mats.
Yeah, they have to sleep on mats. Unbelievable. Now, Chima, who claims herself self-proclaimed diva. Now, immediately, when someone is a self-proclaimed diva, they need to be taken out back and dealt with,
shot.
I think. I won't say Bill.
She wants to play with the bunnies, George.
Because I don't want the shadow people to come for me. But I will say... Oh, no, I was just teasing.
Shoot it. Shoot it.
The bullets just go right through the shadows. Get the vacuum cleaner. I'm telling you, that would work, Bill. You can vacuum up shadow people with a vacuum.
They'd be screwed.
Take them out back, throw them in the dumpster. But Chima here, when she learns of their fate, she's very upset. And I believe she even compared it to waterboarding at one point.
Mm.
So let's go ahead and check this out.
And unfortunately for you, you'll be sleeping in the have-not bedroom, the most uncomfortable room in Big Brother history.
All right, I can't deal with it.
You don't even know how bad it is. It may be you need to cry after, but we don't know yet.
You can't win every time.
It's a group thing. I'm just saying, I can't.
Honey, you're taking it all on yourself.
It's getting hot in here.
Come on, like not right now, because everybody's looking.
You're the person that you want to be here, don't you?
I don't know right now. I'm not even kidding.
No, don't even think about that right now. Come on.
Chima was like maybe one of the biggest sore loser I have ever seen. I was just like, big crybaby, go cry in the corner.
It's barren, it's bleak, it's minimalist, it's the worst. I'm way too
minimalist.
Diva for this.
Minimalist,
anybody
oh my god.
And lives my lifestyle would be like, I would have left that too. I'm about to go home.
I love when they bust out the violin.
Shower
music.
In a nice bed.
Princess Chima is not happy. She has some princess in her, and princesses are not used to sleeping on cement slabs.
You know what I think is funny is
that slab my ass.
Yeah, but the thing is, Chima, she was complaining and all this. I want to go home and stuff like that. And when she's put up on the block, nobody used that excuse. And here's the thing that always drives me nuts about Big Brother. I say it every season. It's when you see people who are in the position of power start to get that smug look on their face.
That's the worst.
You know, Jesse is in power, the big muscle-bound guy, and he's got his buddy Russell, and he's got Nat. And Nat is the chick who, she's got the smug look on her face all the time. Like, she knows she's in power.
The Taekwondo queen.
Yeah, the 18-year-old who's not really 18.
Yeah,
genius. And there's even a part where they get sick of Jeff, who's also on the athletes. And he spends too much time not around them. And
He spends too much time with the popular clique.
Yeah, he's never in their team meetings or whatever. And there's a part where, you know, they do the veto competition. They put up Lydia and the tattooed lady in Chima. And you have to pick these Scrabble letters out of giant zits. It was the most disgusting competition I've ever seen. It's like this white liquid you have to stick your hand in. I was like, who thought of this crap?
Did they even think that, yes, it's disgusting for them, but what about the viewer? Do we really want to see that?
No. I was eating my friggin' dinner when that came on.
So was I. I'm sitting in the kitchen watching the TV from the kitchen, and they're digging into this shit, and it's like, I don't know if it was Cheese Whiz or I don't know what it was, but it was gross.
And some of them would erupt, like go,
yeah.
And I was eating friggin' spaghetti, and I was like, oh, I can't eat right now. And I just set my food down, and later on when it was cold, that's when I ate it. But it was making my stomach turn. It was disgusting.
Yeah.
But they have to spell these letters. They have to spell a word, and whoever spells the longest word out of their letters wins. Well, Russell, the MMA fighter guy, he spells shotgun. And I kind of I laughed at that because I was like, oh, wow, this is the best he can come up with. But nobody else could beat him. And,
And we figured out why when they revealed it. These numbnuts are digging for letters because they've already got the word in their head.
Right.
Why would you not just take every letter you get and then make the word?
I know. It didn't make any sense. Like, Jeff tries to spell technotronics.
Well, it's funny. He didn't even have an H. He tried to spell tektronics.
Yeah.
Or tectonics.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. He could have spelled tectonics like a tectonic plate or something. But
yeah.
Did that never occur to him?
No, because he's an idiot.
But then later on, Nat or somebody was saying he threw the competition. He didn't want to win. And, jerk.
Yeah. He wanted to throw the competition. My own teammate wanted to throw it because, you know, he doesn't like us.
And that didn't make any sense because he didn't need the veto. And, you know, it's almost like the only reason you need the veto, like, I want to win this just in case somebody else wins and you get put up in their place.
Yeah.
But it's his team in power. He didn't need to win the veto anyway. It's just stupid. So that whole kind of confrontation of Jeff was hilarious. And the thing I thought was funny is Nat goes like, you never hang out with us. And he's like, I don't like you. And she was like,
stammered. She was like, that doesn't matter.
And she's like, well, you better watch out or you may go up or something. He was like, ah, shut up or whatever. She's just like, he totally like, just like caught her off guard. He's like, I don't want to hang out with you. I don't like you. And just like, oh, you don't like me.
They're that type that they like sit there and like, in a room and they huddle around and they scheme.
Yeah, that's the thing that drives me nuts.
Who the hell wants to hang out with people that are always scheming?
The whole idea of Big Brother, if you're in there, and this is why I could never be on Big Brother or stomach it, the whole idea is to keep the target off you so you talk shit about other people. That gets those people stirred up. Sometimes they even go confront that person. The people that they are arguing, they never realize that somebody just talked to both of them to get them mad at each other, you know?
Uh-huh.
It's like Ronnie, he's talking to both sides. There's even a part where, you know, Lydia, she's hanging out with Jesse all the time because she was put up. She's rubbing his back. She's rubbing
his nether regions.
Yeah, apparently they did some other things in there. I don't know. I don't even want to think about it.
With it wagging like this.
Barbara, come on. We don't need that comment.
Barbara's all about the wagging.
I don't like soft ass shit.
Whoa, what is
Neither
he talking about?
It's gotta be hard.
So,
She won't take it anyway.
So, anyway, she's spending a lot of time with Jesse. Jesse decides, okay, we're gonna win the veto and take her off the block and put somebody else. She's like, you know, that Brayden, he's a real shaker. I don't even know what that means, first of all.
He likes to dance?
I guess.
I don't know.
I like how they go, this is the thing they always say every season on Big Brother, and I would just call bullshit on it if I was in there. They go, you're a real tough competitor, so. It's like, we've barely played any competition. Where are you getting this shit, you know? It's just,
I know. What? There was like,
you're a real tough competitor,
It's the typical cliche of a nomination. Like, you're a very strong competitor, and you're a threat. So I need to put you out. Shut up.
I know. Right. And they always say throw under the bus. You threw him under the bus. You threw her under the bus and blah, blah, blah. They're all just childish. And it seems like DJ Mingle Mix is going to win the whole thing, Bill.
DJ Mingle Mix.
DJ Mingle Mix.
I'm surprised the controversy hasn't been addressed yet that DJ Mingle Mix, a.k.a. Casey and Jesse, the muscle-bound moron, know each other.
I know. There's pictures of DJ Mingle Mix is hosting a bikini contest, and he was hosting, and one of the judges is Jesse. So you knew they had to have talked to each other. And I believe in the Big Brother bylaws, these very serious
bylaws. The bylaws, the very serious bylaws.
They're supposed to all be strangers mixed together. So automatically, these people know each other. So I'm saying they should both be thrown out. And Jesse, if you'll notice, last season he had kind of a pointy chin. This season he has a big...
Yep.
Big thick chin. So he's
got a big thick chin with a cleft in it. And somehow
he's got a chin implant.
He must have put like those chia seeds on his chin or something to change it completely.
I don't, you know, once I read that, you know, I read it on Hamster Watch that they thought he had a chin implant. I couldn't stop staring at it. And I was like, yeah.
It's obvious. Once you read it, it's like, oh, yeah, he did.
Because his skin looks all stretched out on his chin, you know? It's like,
and it just looks weird. From a profile point, he looks like Jay Leno now.
So basically what they do is they cut a little slit under your jaw and slide a plastic plate over your chin or something?
Yeah, exactly.
That is so weird, man.
Not only is it weird, it just proves how vain someone is.
That guy's got a lot of problems. And I don't remember if it was last season or not, but people were wondering if he'd had calf implants or something. I don't know, but when you start,
I didn't know there was such a thing.
Yeah, you can get calf implants to make your calves look big. Like, say, because there's some people, you know, it's kind of like a washboard stomach. No matter how much you work out and do sit-ups, if it's not part of your genes to have a washboard, you're not going to have one. So people have it surgically make it look like that. So some people, no matter how much they work out their legs, they don't have big muscular calves like they want. So they put in like this plastic thing under their calf muscle to make it look bigger.
That's absurd.
It's really weird that people get this hung up on this stuff.
All I know is it is probably one of the worst seasons so far. There's not a single person in that house that I can honestly say I like. I don't enjoy watching people scheme and bitch
right.
and moan. So there's really no reason for me to watch it.
It looks to
I'll
me
watch
like,
it, but it's just – it's so irritating.
The people you tend to root for are the ones who are just kind of chilling all the time. That guy Jeff, he did try to spell Technotronics, but he looks like he's just there to hang out and have fun.
Yeah.
Which, unfortunately, that's how you lose the game.
Exactly. You cannot hang out and have fun. The moment you're a fun person in the house, you're out. Because then everybody likes you or
right.
They think you're playing the game. For some reason, if you don't play, they think you're playing.
Right. You know what I hate every season is he's a floater. He's a total floater. He's going to float by to the end. But you know who Michelle, the kind of brainy chick who turns out to be brainy but also be kind of sexually extrovert?
I know. Holy crap. She is Michelle from American Pie.
She seems really cool and down to earth. But unfortunately, Ronnie, he thinks he's the master of Big Brother. And if you notice, there was this one funny part on the episode where Russell comes up to him of the athletes. He's like, we're going to put Braden up. So keep it a secret. I just want to let you know. He's like, all right. Thanks a lot for telling me, Russell. He goes straight to Braden and goes, they're going to put you up, Braden. Russell just told me. So you got to keep it a secret, okay? So he's like walking around and Russell's like looking at Braden the way he's talking and stuff. His body language. She's like, he knows. Oh, my God. I'm going to go to Ronnie. Ronnie, did you tell Braden anything? He's like, no, I swear. Swear to God, I didn't. And he's like got his hands crossed and he's looking at him. He's like squinting, like looking at Ronnie. Yeah. He's like,
and Ronnie keeps blinking. For being a persuasive speaker, he sure can't, you know, hide a lie.
Right. And he's like,
his eyes are like blinking a mile a minute.
He's like, are you sure you did not tell them anything? Huh? Are you sure? And he's like, no, I swear I didn't. In fact, I'm kind of pissed off. What do you think?
Yeah,
about
I need to find out who this rat is.
Oh, Steven just told me in a text message, Bill, that Johnny Drama wanted calf implants last season on Entourage.
I see that in the chat room.
That's funny. Hey, Steven! Hey, Steven!
I'm in the chat room, he's hanging out with the boys.
I'll call you, Steven, after the break. What do you say? And we'll get a update on you. Hopefully you're not in the chat room while on a motorcycle, Steven. That's really dangerous.
I think he is.
Oh, my goodness. But let's go ahead and play this clip. Basically, Lydia throws Braden under the bus, as they say. So Braden walks over to Lydia and Kevin, who's the resident homosexual.
The resident defender of all.
He isn't much of a presence on the show at all until this moment, so he's got to be happy he had some showtime, right?
Yeah, really.
And I guess what he did is he started telling, you know, thanks a lot, Lydia, backstabber or whatever. And then, you know, Kevin's like, cut it out, Braden. And he's like, doesn't he call him a beaner or something like that?
Yeah, he does call him a beaner.
But as we all know, Kevin is not Hispanic.
No. I am Blackanese. I'm Blasian, if you will.
Yes, he is Blasian or Blackanese, Bill. I found that offensive, knowing his real heritage. So to be called
that's
that.
Offensive to blacks and Asians.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and check this out. And meanwhile, you know, it goes right into the, you know, Braden gets put up on the block against Shima or Chima or Zima, whatever her name is. And she does win.
She's a delicious clear malt liquor.
Ah, yes. And she kind of throws Braden under the bus on national television. So let's check this out.
Don't attack Kevin. Do not attack Kevin.
I didn't attack him.
Don't say.
I can see it.
Do not say to Kevin right now.
I was being sincere to him.
Yeah,
you're just a bitch.
Sure. Yeah.
And you're a freaking skank.
Whoa.
Which is true.
No, Braden, no. No, I got you. I don't like it when people attack people. Braden, you're...
So he attacks
so
people.
Real. Go home.
Whoa! Do not even disrespect that way.
Care?
Shut your mouth, Braden. Kiss my Latin ass. Done with you.
Hey, go back to Burbank.
She should have
said tattooed. It amazes me how short some of the memory spans in here are, because my opponent here called both of my very good... Yes, he did. And so a vote for Braden is a vote for a bigot. Anyone who aligns himself with a racist and a misogynist, you deserve to go home.
Oh.
Well, Shima, I think that's the most memorable last plea speech we've ever heard.
I love hearing the audience like...
Why the hell is an audience even there?
I don't know.
Who cares?
I do think it's good that they do the live vote now every time. Because when they used to like vote like 2 days earlier and everybody's just like, whatever. Let's see how they voted. But yeah, Braden went home and they did the little... HOH and Ronnie.
Yeah, I know. I know everything about Big Brother.
I'm the puppet master.
Do not even disrespect that way.
Oh, sorry, Lydia.
Don't disrespect that way.
Lydia, she really does have the worst tattoo. You know, I thought James... that last season or the season before? I can't remember.
Yeah, he was bad, but this girl is just absurd.
Remember, he had a bow tie tattoo on his chest. I mean, that was bad, Bill. That was a bad tattoo.
Yeah.
But this chick has sock monkeys. She has, I don't know, did she have a Lego
sock
head?
Sock monkeys,
or?
Hello Kitty, diamonds, eagles.
Where's her Bad Bats Maru tattoo? I don't remember what that is.
Her tats, she's like, my tattoos tell a story. Yeah, that what, you're schizophrenic?
Yeah.
Just go in and give me that.
No, Braden. Oh my god.
You're a freaking skank.
Yeah. I don't think it's right what Braden did there. You know, he didn't have to bring race into it. He could have insulted him in other ways, like called him a big queer or something. But seriously, he was thrown under the bus. That's what's funny. And Kevin
was
defending, no, you don't treat Lydia like that. But she's going to do the same thing to him, and that's going to be funny.
Yeah.
Kiss my Latin ass!
Oh, okay.
That's one ass I would have to pass on.
Now, Bill, let's take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll talk about the cake boss! Hey!
Oh, the cake boss!
All right, be right back, everybody.
What's up with you? Back to Burbank.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
In our last episode, Lucky met a swirl whale, but now are they headed for a fall?
Look out! The waterfall!
All those kids have to be Lucky Charms. That crunchy old cereal with the rainbow and marshmallow surprises. Hearts, stars, moons, clovers, diamonds, and horseshoes.
Whoa! Wow, the whale is stuck in the rainbow!
And yikes, there are whales in me cereal, too!
Swirl whale marshmallows? You can see for yourself in boxes of Lucky Charms, part of his nutritious breakfast.
Bite into a Starburst and hold on to your taste buds.
Starburst!
It's the wildest orange.
Orange!
Strawberry!
Strawberry!
Lemon!
Lemon!
And wildest cherry taste. Starburst! It's a burst of refreshing fruit flavor. Naturally and artificially flavored.
Hey, guys! These are Remarkables.
You love new Remarkables. They're the shirts you can color on.
This is really fun, Barney. Remarkable!
Remarkable, because the color washes right out.
Mom's gonna love this. Remarkable!
You can color each shirt again and again.
This is neat.
With special Remarkables markers.
Remarkable!
Hey, let's wash Barney.
Granny shirt.
Remarkable. Shirts you can color and wash and color and wash and color and wash.
From the Masters of the Universe, Hordak reveals the most gruesome trap ever. Welcome to the Slime Pit.
The what?
The Slime Pit.
Now, Spike, or you're my slave. Not the slime. Yes, my slime will overpower you. I've been slime. No one escapes the Evil Horde Slime Pit.
The Evil Horde Slime Pit. New from the Masters of the Universe. You put it together. Think you're sold separately from Mattel.
You can take a bite, take a bite, take an alphabet's bite. You can make a game out of eating. Every letter in sight, A, B, C, X, Y, Z. You can crunch them left and right. You can take a bite.
Yikes, the big
pig! To get away from that pig, you can bite the word big. To beat the pig at his gig, you can bite the word big pig. You can take a bite. If you want to start the day with the breakfast you can play, you can
take a bite.
Post alphabet cereal, part of this nutritious breakfast. You can take a bite.
And Kid Sister. It's sold separately from Play School.
Hi, I'm Nancy McKeon, and I'll be right back with one to grow on.
Let's start by making lists of peasants and then the ready-mades.
And let's not forget the years they are elected
and their party.
Right.
I wonder who that can be.
I'm selling magazine subscriptions. Open the door and I'll show them to you.
Come on, Michelle. Open up. Let's see what kind of magazines he has.
Michelle!
Hold it, Michelle. You don't know who's on the other side of the door. And if you don't know who it is, don't let them in. If they're delivering something, tell them to leave it at the door. And if they want to come in, tell them to come back later.
Listen, guys, I don't know who this guy is, and we're here all alone.
You're right.
Sir, we're right in the middle of something right now. Could you please come back later? Come on over. Come on. Okay, we're going to start this way, and then we can go that way.
No. And that's one to grow on.
A whole lot of fun. New lifesavers, fruit juicers can be. Real juicing everyone.
That's cool.
Fruit juicers, a whole lot of fun. Oh, oh, oh. Who's that twister? Who's that cruncher? A licker, a skunker, a creamy little muncher.
Oreo and
what's your Oreo option?
O-R-E-O.
It's Kool-Aid Coolers, the box that
Rocky Wild Kool-Aid style.
Coolers, the box that's wacky.
Coolers, the box that's wild,
wacky. Oh,
yeah.
Mmm, tastes great, Captain.
Did you hear that?
Let's smash that tasty sweet crunch.
Now hear this, you soggies.
Cap'n Crunch is a crunchy sweet part of a good breakfast.
Have the wildest imagination.
But it's true. It's a Cap'n Crunch dinosaur spoon. You can eat with it, play with it, share the excitement. You can get all three, one in each specially marked box of my cereal.
Hi, may I take your order, please?
Big Mac McDLT, a quarter pounder with some cheese, filet, a fish, a hamburger, a cheeseburger, a Happy Meal, McNuggets, tasty golden french fries, regular and larger sizes, salad, chef, a garden, or a chicken salad, oriental, big, big breakfast, egg McMuffin, hot hot cakes and sausage, maybe biscuits, bacon, egg and cheese and sausage, Danish hash brown, 2 and 4 dessert, hot apple pies and sundaes, 3 varieties of sauce, or cold, 3 kinds of shakes and chocolate, Egypt cookies, and to drink a Coca-Cola, Diet Coke, and orange drink, is right, and coffee, decaf, 2, a loaf, and milk, also an orange juice. I love McDonald's, good time, great days, and I get this all at one place.
Would you like that to go?
Just for the taste of it, Diet Coke.
dippity do it. With dippity do. The dip to do. For all the crazy looks inside of you. Dippity do it. Dippity do. Do it. With dippity do.
Back.
I don't like soft ass shit.
Oh, sorry about that. All right, Bill.
Yes.
We are calling Steven. Let's see if
yes,
he answers.
Are. Hello?
Steven, hey.
Hey. Good show, guys.
Oh, well, thank you. You've been listening.
Not the same without you, Steven.
Well, you guys are doing awesome without me, so.
I don't know how we're managing, Steven. We really miss you.
He's our rock, our foundation.
That's right. So, how you doing up there, huh? You been riding the motorcycle around?
I'm going to rent one tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going to go head up into the mountains and ride around for a few hours.
So if we don't hear from you by nighttime, we send out a search party, right?
Right, yes.
Pretty scary.
It's very scary up there. The deer's right out in front of you, and you might crash. Or,
I mean, you've seen American Werewolf in London, right? Could that happen
Colorado? Except that was in Ireland, right?
Yeah. Maybe that doesn't happen in Colorado.
Scotland.
Now, Steven, have you seen any shadow people while you've been there?
I hear they frequent Colorado.
Did you see I said I was more afraid of the shadow dogs.
What is a shadow dog?
I guess it's a shadow person dog. They've got to have dogs, you know. Everyone needs something.
That's true. Dogs, you know, they pass
They
on
got
to
little
you,
shadow
right?
pets, you know. A oh! shadow hamster. Hey. You got a shadow dog in the room with you there?
Yes, very scary. Now, Steven, have you finished The Gunslinger yet? You ready to start reading the new book?
Not yet. I'll be close.
All right.
I'm getting close.
You have until the end of the month to finish Drawing of the Three, okay?
Okay, I got to do some reading. I gotta get some serious read on now.
Go get
You should just get the audiobooks.
Yeah, go get the audiobooks, Steven. How's that?
No, okay.
Better yet, go get the Cliff Notes.
Well, I've read the first one already, and I've read halfway through the second one, but I'm just trying to reread them.
Now, did you hear what I was saying, Stephen, about the tranquil sound effects and music to help you lull you to sleep part of the show?
No, because I was waiting for 8 o'clock, and I was like, wait a second, it's 8 o'clock back home.
Whoops!
So it was like I came in about 10 minutes into the show.
Oh, boo! Can you believe that, Bill? Oh, my God.
That's so Steven, though.
Wow.
Well, I was sitting there watching. I was watching the clock here, and I looked down. I had my computer on because I was going to log in, and I looked down, and it was like 8:10, 8:12. I was like, oh, shit, it's back home.
We're wagging like this.
Shit, I'm in mountain time!
How do you like how this shit works?
Well, I miss you a lot, Steven.
Wait a second. That sounded... That I miss you. Like, wow.
I miss you, Steven. I miss you.
With it wagging like this.
What? Shut up, Barbara. I don't know what you're talking about, okay? But anyway, it was great
You missed me.
No, I'm just being courteous, Steven. I'll see you next week.
He can't stand you.
I'll see you next week. What's a big deal, right?
Thank God he's in Colorado.
It's a good thing I missed the first 10 minutes of the show, huh?
Yeah, that's where we badmouth you.
All right, Steven. Well, nice to hear from you.
Now, yes, don't fall asleep.
Hopefully you keep listening, all right? We're going to talk about The Cake Boss next, your favorite show, all right?
I'm waiting. I can't wait for Cake Boss.
Now forget about it.
Go downstairs, Steven.
Go downstairs, Steven.
I'm on the fourth floor, so I guess I could go downstairs.
Yeah. Go downstairs, Steven. All right, Steven, have a good one. We'll see you next week.
Hopefully. All right, we'll see you next week.
Just be careful.
You have a good show, okay?
Careful on that motorcycle, okay?
All right, there.
All right, ladies.
Take it easy, guys. Have fun.
All right, Bill. Cake Boss. Hey! What I like about Cake Boss, instead of like Big Brother, where they manipulate things through the editing, Cake Boss, they just write a script in the first place, I think. They don't manipulate it in editing.
Yeah, I think this show is scripted from the start, yeah.
For instance, the boys, they're going to eat lunch. They're like, what do we got today? We got some chicken wings. We got some pizza.
No. It was, the lunch is here. What is it? I don't know. It smells like pizza. Well, who the frick ordered it?
Yeah, who ordered it? Maybe the TLC production crew? Because they put together this whole improvised scene of Mary coming in and commenting on the fattening food.
Yeah. Okay, Mary, we got our shots of them eating chicken wings. Go ahead in.
And action. What are you boys eating in here? Is this your lunch? So let's go ahead and check this out, Bill, and you tell me, real or scripted?
Okay.
And they arranged this stupid deal to lose weight. It's just, let's just check it out.
Oh, let's go. Lunch is here.
What is it?
I don't know. It smells like pizza.
Buffalo wings.
Nice and greasy.
This is what you're eating for lunch?
What are you, the salad god?
Listen, you should be eating a little bit healthier.
If we didn't want to eat it, we could. We could eat salads every day to us up here. We got a lot of willpower. You are the ones without willpower, not us.
That's my sister Mary. Her and my other sisters are always giving us a hard time about what we eat.
Why don't we see who's going to lose weight? You and your chubby sisters or us? We're going to make a deal.
Wow, that's pretty rude there, buddy.
I know. Aren't they his sisters, too?
Yeah. Us four could lose more weight than you and your sisters.
Does he mean
use?
Game on.
Listen, these are the rules, okay? If yous win, we'll work in the storefront for yous.
And they got to come up here and watch.
Listen, can you shut up and listen? Okay, if we win... Use wash the sinks, and you're gonna wash the dishes. Tone, you're gonna be the official weight keeper. Okay, Tone, don't say the weights. Just put it on.
Little Cuz, come on, step on there.
You guys are almost
good. God, that music.
No doubt, what is this? We girls are gonna win this thing, no matter what it takes.
This is how the teddy bears have their pick.
This seems like a good time to sneak out and get in the workout.
All right, now nice and easy. I don't want anybody to have a heart attack.
What my sisters don't know is that the guys have a secret weapon.
Easy, don't want to go too fast.
Exercise, baby.
Colonics.
I got the blood flowing.
Yeah.
Let's do some weights.
They just emptied out the colon. Wait,
out of the four of us, I would say probably I work out the most. A few of them look like they've never seen the inside of a gym. We're going to get those boys into shape.
Wow.
What the hell's with the training music? All of a sudden, it's a Rocky montage.
Yeah, and these guys do kind of look out of shape. They really like the pastries. And there's one part where he's like, hey, what'll it hurt if I have this little pastry right here? What could be in this? I think it was Danny who said that. Hey, what could be in this as he's eating it? The cake part where they have to build the cake for the FAO Schwartz.
Oh, they God, go, that looks so bad.
It opens up with a tour of the place, and they walk in, and hey, there's the big piano. Hey, I know. Yeah. How about the cake is a piano? Piano keys.
Yeah, why don't we all play Heart and Soul and Chopsticks on it?
And then what else? Hey, he sees giant soldiers. What do you call those things?
The toy soldiers?
Toy soldiers. He's like, we could put that on the
step
cake, too.
Step by step. Heart to heart. Sorry.
Now, what part of this cake? This is what I wonder every week. Which part of the cake that we're looking at can you eat? Which is edible?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, which is going to kill me?
Yeah.
Which is going to taste like crap, and which is the actual cake? Because they always show them rolling the fondant over it. So.
Yeah, and they always use Rice Krispie Treats. I thought it was a cake, not a Rice Krispie Treat.
Yeah, he always used the Rice Krispie Treats to hold crap together like cement, basically. Is that going to be edible? I mean, why? What's going on here? I don't know. That's what confuses me about this show.
I think these are some of the worst cakes I've ever seen. I don't know how this guy has a bakery that stays in business.
Also, I want to know this, Bill. How many friggin' people work there?
I think all of New Jersey.
Because there's a bunch of people in there. And Mary, she's always coming in there. You know, Mary's the actual star of the show, I'm thinking.
She is. She is the star. And she knows it.
And what is with him saying yules about everything? Yules do this, you do that.
I don't know. I guess he's not a big fan of grammar.
But I like that they're eating their lunch and she's like,
"This is what you're eating for lunch?"
Yeah, like, okay, yeah, that was natural.
Yeah, it is. It's going in our mouths. It's in front of us. Yes. Your question can be answered by yourself.
You know, I hope they bring the gangsters back next week because we need some more of that.
No. Yeah, and not the the beach club people. Everybody was the other cake.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. You got to have, there's a chick. She's in a bikini. We got a guy who's getting some sunburn. It's just like, I'm going to say this. It's people, they don't have much imagination.
No.
They don't have
They kind of lay it out and then go, okay, that's what we'll do.
Squirting my cake.
We use modeling chocolates.
And I want to know how the cake tastes. They always show people going, ooh, but they never show them eating.
I think there's more icing on those cakes than cake.
I know. I think it would put you in a sugar coma, but I want to see clips of people going, this is delicious, but they never show that, do they?
No. Why would they?
Why would they?
Yeah. I mean, that would negate the whole idea that he's the cake boss and his cakes are good.
Exactly. It's just like in the yous guys. Who talks like that? Seriously. I mean,
he does.
Is that like a thing that they do up in Jersey?
That's got to be a Jersey thing.
A Jersey Italian thing. Yous guys, you better. Oh, you know, you mess with the bull, you get the horns. That kind of thing. I don't know.
They all think they're the Sopranos.
Yeah. The Sopranos who make cake. Wow.
Yeah. This was a weak episode. I was expecting more.
Cockadoos.
And normally they do a lot more stuff. I want them to bring back Stretch.
Oh, I know. Where the hell's Stretch at? Always getting yelled at by these guys.
You mess with the bull,
Tone gets all marginalized.
You know,
like, you could be the weight guy, Tone Tone. Why couldn't he say you could be the gay weight guy, Tone Tone? Because every time he brings up Tone Tone, it's like, hey, we got a gay.
I think Tone Tone is their mascot or something. I don't know what the hell's going on.
The gay mascot.
Oh!
Tone Tone's a shadow person. I knew it.
Oh my God, that's scary. That's really scary. All right, Bill, whatever. Let's talk about Jesse James is a dead man. Because this episode was Jesse James versus the internet. What does that mean? Is he going to fight a computer? No. A bunch of dipshits are going to suggest things for Jesse to do.
This versus the lawnmower man.
Yo, what does he do? Okay, he's got to deliver a pizza to a guy who lives in the desert, Bill.
Yes.
He's like the Enrique in Terminator 2. He lives in a compound with people.
Yeah, what the hell is with that? A guy lives 50 miles or 40 miles from any city in the middle of the desert, and he's like, oh, these roads are really treacherous. You can't get out here. Yet there's about 25 cars in his driveway.
Yeah. And then there's the Jesse James will catch a rattlesnake with his bare hands. And then when you see clips of it, you know, I watched the show, and he's not catching shit with his bare hands. He's got one of those little tong pole things where they just grab it.
He caught the snake with the pole that was in his bare hands.
Right. Then he puts his hand, locks it on the head, and then milks it.
Milks it, yeah.
He's milking the snake. You know what I'm saying? So the guy's like, hey, Jesse, I bet you're too scared to catch a snake and milk it and bring me the poison for my research. So he's like, oh.
You know what? That sounds like something my sister's boyfriend would do.
Oh, that was scary.
He's a nut with all those stupid freaking snakes.
But I got to tell you this, Bill. They're showing the size of that friggin' rattlesnake, and it starts doing that rattle. That
I'm out of there.
Those things are friggin' scary, man.
I am out of there. I hate snakes in general. If it was a garden snake, I would be running the other direction.
You know, for 4th of July weekend, we were at Heather's aunt. She lives in Tyler on the lake. And it was the middle of the night, and there was this guest house that I decided, I was like, I'm going home. Her parents are staying over the night, but I talked Heather into going home, okay? So we're going back and forth to the car, putting our stuff in, and it's pitch dark. You can't see anything. And her uncle has got a flashlight. So he calls over there. He goes, hey, I was leaving. There was a copperhead in the passageway. So you guys watch out. And I was like, what? A freaking copperhead? So I was like, I'm not going anywhere now. I'm like scared. No. So I get a flashlight and I'm looking around. Like, I'm like the kid in Stand By Me when he's on the watch. And he's like, you know, looking around for a freaking snake or whatever. But man, that scared the shit out of me. Just the idea that there could be a snake at my feet.
No, I ain't. Well, I'd be saying, well, if you saw one, you better go get it because I ain't going anywhere near it.
I mean, I don't even know what a copperhead will do. Will it put you in the hospital or what? I don't know.
Yeah. Sure it will. It's a rattlesnake, basically.
That's some scary shit. So anyway, the third thing was Jesse James. The guy was like, I bet you won't because you're scared, Jesse, drive a monster truck into a big trailer home. And he's like, oh, that's been done. How about we crash it into a real house?
Oh, well, that just changes everything.
Oh, yeah. He turned that on whatever. I don't even know what the example I'm going to use. He turned that around on that guy. But anyway, it was funny, the suggestions. There was people with some real bad things. He's like, hey, Jesse, why don't you fight a lion or something?
There was one guy sitting in his garage on his work stool next to his bike with his skank wife decked out in this mini skirt makeup standing next to him for no reason. And the guy's like, yeah, I want you to take a chopper off one jump across this other thing, two jumps, and Jesse just makes the comment like, wow, this is gold.
Yeah, and did they even show him yawning like, yeah, as he's watching this?
I think it's so funny that they're like, yeah, let's do this. Let's do Jesse James versus the internet because it's such a great idea. We'll get a lot of really, really great people.
They got horrible ideas, but here's a clip of Jesse James, the Pizza Hut one. And this guy who he's going to deliver to, he's got some great line readings here, Bill. He's like,
yeah, and I love that the announcer actually recognizes how stupid the stunt is.
Yeah, let's check it out.
I didn't edit that.
Jesse James threw down the gauntlet on Spike.com to find the dumbest, most insane challenges his fans could come up with.
Once the gauntlet's laid down, people will turn into total buffoons for the sake of being on any kind of TV.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell Jesse James what the f*** up.
He's gonna take on the stupidest stunt of all. He's gonna deliver a pizza 50 miles into the middle of the desert.
Oh my God.
But he's gotta get there in under 40 minutes before the pizza gets cold.
That was hilarious.
Hey, Jesse James, this is Travis out here in the middle of nowhere at my house. I'm issuing you a challenge to bring me two piping hot pepperoni pizzas. I don't want them cold when they get here. The only way to get to my house is this long, treacherous road.
Jesse.
And, you know, I just really don't think you got what it takes to do this challenge.
The closest pizza place is over 50 miles away. This Pizza Hut in Barstow, California. Jesse's taking the place over.
Hello, thank you for calling Barstow Pizza Hut. My name's Jesse. How may I help you?
This is what you're eating for lunch.
Oh, Mary's got to pipe in on that guy, too.
Yeah, and then Jesse jumped over the Pizza Hut with a monster truck.
Oh, come on, man.
So I love how they're like, the temperature of the pizza right now is this. It must not drop below so-and-so.
Yeah, it's like, right now it's at 165 degrees. It cannot drop below 135. Anything less is a cold pizza.
Yeah, and the guy is like,
I don't want them cold when they get here.
Yeah, ooh, okay, tough guy.
And the heat bag only lowers the temperature by 3/4 of a degree every minute.
Two piping hot pepperoni pizzas.
Yeah, okay, dude. I
want two piping hot pepperoni pizzas.
Just really don't think while I go smoke more dough. Challenge.
So here's what I'm wondering. Did Jesse just deliver pizza to a cult?
I think he did. It's kind of out in the middle. It looked like a cult of douchebags.
Like, we're like waiting for the apocalypse, Jesse. We really want some pizza.
Like, I'm just hanging out with my friends playing poker.
Oh my God.
Pizza.
I know why they're out in the hot desert. They're hiding from the shadow people. It's so bright. There's no shadows.
In the dark. There's shadows everywhere.
Oh, you're right. They're screwed.
Yeah.
Oh, huh?
I wonder who's, like, what production assistant that was doing the voice for that in Ghost.
Two piping hot pepperoni pizzas.
Ah, yeah, okay.
So
dude.
I think the funniest thing was he delivers it in this full decked out dune buggy with Pizza Hut written across it.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder if Pizza Hut, you know, foot the bill for this one.
I thought that was pretty cool looking, too. And, of course, every episode, his vehicle stalls. Are you seeing, like, a little thing here where every single time? Didn't his car stall in the Baja, too?
Yeah.
Where I know it got stuck on a side of a hill. And then the week before, the figure eight thing. And then when he's running from the cops. So
just like, Jesse ran it in the red line too much and the car just couldn't take it.
It's overheated.
Overheated.
And I love his, like, he can't drive in the road. Now he's got to go across the desert.
Yeah, so once he figures out that, okay, it'll start up again after 20 minutes. Or the clock's ticking during this entire thing. Like, it's actually, like, he's actually in trouble that he's going to not deliver the pizza in time.
Yeah, 100 bucks. He bets the guy 100 bucks.
Yeah, he cuts across the desert. And the guys just happen to be on top of the roof looking at him through binoculars coming across the desert. And just as he pulls into this weirdo compound, it's like 3, 2.
Yeah, they have a timer going. And did you notice also when the guys are like, hey, do you see him? And they look out in the binoculars, you see all sorts of vehicles out there all of a sudden.
Yeah, well, that's really treacherous road.
Just really don't think you got what it takes to do this challenge.
Yeah, I don't think you got what it takes to drive 50 miles into the middle of the desert to deliver a pizza. That's really tough.
So what did you think of the whole monster truck into the house thing?
It was absurd.
My favorite thing about the whole thing was the CGI of what could happen if a board went up through the monster truck into his skull. That was the best
part. Because there's a huge chance that might happen if he lands on the house in a board.
They have to reinforce the bottom of the monster truck.
Oh, Yudanasha asked, did he deliver it? Yes, he delivered it just in time.
That's right. That guy got... Oh, and when he opens it up, he goes, wow, this is still warm, Jesse. This is really good pizza. Thanks, Jesse. And when they're eating it, and they're like, wow, this is pretty good. I was like, it's Pizza Hut. You guys don't have to fake that it's a good pizza.
Yeah, you know? I know. It looked like that stuffed crust shit. Like, this is really good pizza.
I mean, come on. You know it's not good pizza. It's like Pizza Hut's the closest place, and they're sponsoring this segment.
He ordered it with double anchovies. He was expecting Patrick Dempsey.
This better be good. It's your ass.
All right. Well, thanks for that, Jesse. Let's talk about Top Chef Masters, Bill.
Okay.
And I got to be honest with you. Last week, I thought it was really good with the accoutrement of the sea stuff, Bill.
And all the gays?
Yeah. But
who said they were magicians?
Yeah, they're gay magicians, I believe.
They make penis disappear.
I love the accoutrement with all of the sea stuff.
Yes, thank you.
With it wagging like this.
What?
Yeah, there we go.
That's what we're talking about.
That's what it all comes back down to.
First of all, this kind of reminded me of Jesse James, how they're plugging friggin' Pizza Hut or something.
Yeah, exactly. They were plugging something else that had nothing to do with the show.
Because I already know they're doing glad bags and stuff. That's fine. They're footing the bill for the show or the prize money or whatever.
I don't care if it's in the background or if they're using the products to store food.
Hey, guys, in between this competition, I sure would like a Diet Dr. Pepper, you know. But here they have the cast of a show that's coming back called Flipping Out.
Yes.
And they're there to judge the food. And I'm like, what? Come on.
The chefs were like, what?
They're like, what's going on here? The Flipping Out, dude. I've watched that show. That dude's a freak. And he's going to comment on my food? And that's pretty much what happened.
You're joking me right now, right?
No, I'm not. Let's go ahead and check this out where they did the quick fire competition, and they have to make a meal out of fast food, right?
Well, they have to take the idea of the fast food. And right. make a similar meal, like a fast food version of something gourmet.
Okay, let's check it out.
Watch your attitude, Mario.
There's no one here by that name.
To taste and rate your food, we have some junk food lovers with some very strong opinions. This is Flipping Out's Jeff Lewis and his crew. Fans of the show see them eating junk food all the time. Jeff considers himself a junk food expert.
When you see that guy, you flip it out. It's enough having a critic judging your food.
I'll accept that challenge.
But having somebody who doesn't know food, being the critic, is even tougher.
You have 45 minutes to turn junk into genius. Jeff, why do you like junk food so much? Do you really eat that much junk food?
Ryan and I lead a very fast-paced lifestyle. I don't have time to sit in a restaurant. I go through a lot of drive-thrus, Carl's Jr., McDonald's, Taco Bell. We are white trash with money.
This is the gourmet version of hot dogs. Dig in.
The dish I'm serving is a tomato prosciutto stufato with pork kielbasa.
Yeah, it is cooked, right? It's a little rare.
The broth is good.
Everything is, great. The meat is kind of the weird part of it. Otherwise, the soup is really good.
All right, dish number 2.
You look excited.
Anything fried excites me.
Right.
I chose a fish stick. The dish I'm serving today is a swordfish meatball with a fisherman sauce and a Calabrian chili mayonnaise.
I was really looking forward to this one because I don't think I've had fish sticks since childhood.
I like this
one. Oh, you haven't?
I would keep eating this.
There's three perfect
balls. Why is there Italian music playing for fish sticks?
And I like the color. No, seriously.
They borrowed some cake boss music.
Deep fried shrimp. So I'm serving a poached shrimp with pickled cherry tomatoes and a sauce made out of lobster stocks.
It's very pretty.
It's beautiful, but
that
I don't
I
see the
taste.
Fried in the fried shrimp yet.
Maybe it is pan-fried. It doesn't taste fried. It tastes boiled.
The butter. Where's the breading?
But I find it a little thin without the tomato.
I guess it's the interpretation of what is fine dining and how far you can take it.
Yeah.
We are going to clear these dishes, but unfortunately, fourth chef didn't finish his dish.
Really? I would have had seconds on the second dish. Or I'm hungry.
Eating.
Didn't he have 45 minutes? We got ripped off.
I'd like to see him come into the kitchen and create a corn dog in 45 minutes.
No onions. Check the box.
So the guy tried to make his corn dog, but that seems to be happening every week where somebody will mess up on this.
Yeah, they underestimate how long it's going to take.
But basically, don't you think they're planning too much? They're like, I'm going to blow them away, and then they realize they're kind of just, they've overdone it. They've gave themselves too much stuff to do and not enough time. But you know what's interesting? Because that flipping out guy really doesn't like Steven, as you remember from earlier shows.
No, he doesn't.
I don't think Steven is doing these things as a personal affront to me. I don't think he's trying to get a rise out of me. He just is not paying attention. He doesn't view this work as important.
Yeah, welcome to my world, dude, okay?
Yeah, we've had that problem with Steven for years.
Yeah, for a long time. No! Oh, but anyway, so basically the main part, that thing was just so, it goes to commercial, and then it's like, flipping out premieres on so-and-so. You know, it's just like, I feel dirty watching
this. It's it's forced promotion on the biggest show they have.
Right.
We got ripped off.
Exactly. I wanted to see Isaac Mizrahi and the chick from Destiny's Child.
Exactly.
Judge something. So I'm trying to remember. The main challenge was them to do a 3-course mini meal, like in the form of hors d'oeuvres, right?
Yeah.
Oh, and I have to mention that Michael was his name, Michael Chiarello from.
Yeah, Michael Chiarello from. What the hell is that called? Easy Entertaining.
Yeah, with Michael Chiarello. And I got to be honest, that's the only guy I've heard of out of these. So,
yeah, me too. I had never heard of any of them.
And here's what I'm wondering, and I just kind of thought of this, because when they judge the food, when regular people do and they have the cards, do you think that maybe they're like, oh, I know who this guy is, and he gets a little favored a little? I don't know.
I don't know if they give the names of the chefs.
But, I mean, they might have recognized him just from the Food Network.
Sure, yeah.
But he ends up being the guy who wins. And I'm just – I know my palate isn't probably like these people, but anybody who makes something shrimp, I'm like, hey, give him the award.
Yeah.
Because I love shrimp so much.
The Swedish chef that did that, it looked good. And I kept waiting for him to go, bork, bork, bork.
Here she makes a bork, bork,
bork, bork, bork, bork, bork, chicken and a bork.
But I got to tell you, Bill, I watched this on 2 separate occasions because I started drifting off and falling asleep during
it. It was a very boring episode.
And here's what the problem is. Regular Top Chef, it has people, you know, they're professionals or whatever. They work in restaurants, but they're trying to be the top chef. They cuss all the time. They don't get along with each other. There's something that they play up. They dramatize certain things. But on this, these people are all professionals, and they're just all very bland and boring. You know, maybe they'll have a
French. Well, it was this particular episode that they were all bland and boring.
Yeah.
Like the first
extremely two, talented but not good television, basically.
Yeah. The first two episodes were great because the chefs were real lively and they knew one another and they were, you know, joking around and having fun. Whereas this one, they were just taking everything so serious and that it's like they didn't even talk.
Right. Yeah. The one with the French guy, I thought he was hilarious because he was so cocky. But this, they're all just going about their business, and it's just kind of like, okay. But I think there's one more contestant next week where they'll find one more guy, and then they'll do the final thing, right?
Yeah.
The final. Who will be the top chef master? And we'll go ahead and talk about that. But right now I want to talk about Bullshit with Penn and Teller.
Yes.
And this episode was about the apocalypse.
Yes, yeah, Steven's favorite subject, 2012.
2012. And immediately I thought this episode was funny.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the funniest part is they talk about the Mayan calendar and all that. They never could, you know, no matter how much they went into it, none of it even made sense as to why people thought this was the end of the world.
No, they would automatically go, well, it's the Mayan calendar. And that was it.
It just ends, so that's the end of the world. And one guy was talking about, what was it called? The brown planet? What was that?
It was
a brown star.
A brown dwarf.
A brown dwarf.
Yeah,
which was
Planet X. It's hiding behind the sun.
Right, and it will come back and crash into the Earth. He demonstrated by holding two balls on strings with sticks.
On strings, yes.
And he was showing, this is what it looked like when they collide. He was bouncing the balls against each other.
It was an easy joke for Penn and Teller, but whenever they had Gary Coleman on, and they asked if he was going to destroy the Earth.
Yeah, he goes, a tiny brown dwarf will destroy the world. And they go, hey, it was Gary Coleman, are you going to destroy the world? And he went, yes.
I lost it. I was cracking up. It was so easy, but it was hilarious.
I thought it was sad and hilarious that the guy who's written those 2012 books about the Planet X, he had a book signing at the bookstore. But they were like, hey, we decided to go to a bookstore. Oh, what the hell is that guy doing here? Hey, he's got a book signing.
And he's got that hair, that toupee that is so bad. He wears a hat half the time.
Right.
And when he doesn't, it's like, whoa, dude.
But
that's like one of those full head toupees.
He was sitting at that table with his book and he goes, we'll come back when it's busier because there's nobody there to get their book signed. And later on, he's telling a little girl about the
like
world's
going to end. Yeah, like a little 12-year-old
girl. And he goes, oh, way to go, jerk off. Real good here. And then they were like, I don't think we've gotten enough story out of this guy. What is his background? He was like, I was abducted by a flying saucer. And it's like, oh, God.
This guy's really reaching.
Meanwhile, they have this man and woman investigating the Mayans.
The Mayan calendar, yes. They decide they need to go to Mexico to investigate
the
Mayan calendar.
They go to Chichen Itza.
Yeah, and the guy can't pronounce it.
Yeah, the blonde, big blonde chick, she's filming him, and he's like, we're here from Chichen Itza.
Chick-fil-A.
And the girl keeps saying, Chichen Itza, Chichen Itza. And he's like, we're here at the Mayan ruin. You know, he just skips over it.
He goes, we're here at the hotel.
And he's like,
oh.
This pyramid has 365 steps. Each one represents a day of the year. Let's see the significance of this one. And he's like, I think I should count the steps and we'll see how many. He's like, one, two. And they're like, what kind of scientists are these?
And the girl's sitting down at the bottom of the pyramid with one of those tourist umbrellas.
Shading herself.
And then with the walkie-talkie.
The guy stops midway on one of the pyramids. He's like, I lost count. And they've got their, I lost count. I'm going to have to start over. And they're like, oh, my God, let's leave. But then they go to this guy. Where was this guy? In Amsterdam or something?
This guy was in Antwerp.
Antwerp. Okay. And this guy doesn't speak very good English. Bless his heart, Bill. But he believes the world will be destroyed by sunspots. Solar
anomalies. Because they're very dangerous.
Let's go ahead and check this out because this is awesome.
My name is Patrick Jarrell, and I strongly believe that the world will be destroyed in 2012.
Patrick Jarrell claims to know a lot about 2012. He's written three books on the topic, all with the same dire warning.
Our civilization will be destroyed in 2012. Nothing can stop it.
Yeah. Oh, I guess it isn't funny. But how is the world going to end?
A very high sunspot is expected in 2012.
Sunspot? Yikes!
When that happens, a huge, an enormous, a gigantic, a gargantuan solar flare will be thrown to the Earth, and that will destroy our civilization.
So with this solar flare thing, what should we expect?
No computers will work after a pole shift. Mega earthquakes bigger than the Richter scale. Hurricanes and the tornadoes. A complete tidal wave that will go over the whole Earth. More than 99% of all people in the whole world will be dead after this.
Are you serious? You mean computers really won't work?
This
That's
is
what he's
total
concerned about.
Armageddon.
Holy pickle! He's serious!
Poor Patrick. Must be tough to carry the weight of the apocalypse on his slender shoulders. I mean, what could be scarier than solar flares?
No reason to fear solar flares whatsoever. I'm Dr. Ian O'Neill, and I'm a solar physicist. If we get hit by a solar flare, it's not going to wipe us out. It's not going to influence us hardly at all.
But wait a second. Patrick's talking about a massive solar flare. A huge one, what did he call it?
An enormous, a gigantic, a gargantuan solar flare.
Yeah, gigantic gargantuan. Could we be hit by one of those?
Well, we could be. We will get hit by one or two, maybe get hit by a big one. But our atmosphere is more than capable of coping with it. It's like an invisible shield. The ionosphere will filter out this light and dissipate it. Even as recent as 2003, we were hit by some X-class flares, which are the most powerful flares. We've been hit by everything that the sun can throw at us, and we're still here.
Wow.
But I love that guy trying to squeeze those words by his teeth.
Oh, that was so funny.
A gargantuan.
And best of all, he said he had like an Armageddon club that would meet once a month.
He said they meet once a month.
You could only be part of it.
There's four locations that they can stay.
Right, to survive.
Yeah, Morocco, Morocco, South Africa. There was a couple. It was just like, what?
The third one was like, what? And he was like, ideally, to survive, you need about $1 billion. And he was like, wow, that's a lot of money. Hey, what will you spend it on? Everything's going to be destroyed. It's like,
there aren't going to be any Walmarts left.
But they cut back to the people in Mexico, and he's like, I've got these divining rods, and we'll try to find something. And they're like, oh, not the divining rods, because, you know, they covered that on bullshit a long time ago.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, look, it's steering me towards this open doorway. And he's like, who are these people? We forgot to show their intro. And he's like,
they keep asking the energy where to go.
Right. Like, where
are we? They're like, okay, so should we, where are you? They're walking forward in a divining rods cross.
And it's like, will something bad happen on 2012 in the Divining Rods cross?
Yeah.
Will people die? So it's funny that it turns out the guy is a ghost hunter, right?
Yeah.
And I don't remember what the chick is. She has some kind of weird credentials, but she's some kind of psychic or something. So it's just a bunch of crap. But I thought it was pretty funny how basically nobody really had an explanation. They just knew something bad's going to happen. But my favorite was the author, the guy who's written books on the subject.
Yeah. That's so funny. So absurd. People are ridiculous.
It was a lot of fun.
This is total Armageddon.
I remember the guy had a grapefruit. He goes, imagine this is the Earth. And he's drawing a red arrow on it. The Earth will spin counterclockwise.
And they're like, great, you had to go ruin grapefruits for us.
We love grapefruits. Now you ruined it.
They even have a spoon.
That was great. All right, well, Bill, Entourage is back. Let's go ahead and talk about Entourage.
If we have to.
Let's go ahead and trash Entourage. Because remember, I really thought the last season of Entourage was really, really bad. They had nothing to do, basically, and they saved all the storyline for the last four episodes, or three or four episodes. And it got better when Vince realizes he's not a good actor. I remember that guy wanted him thrown off his movie. He's pissed off at Eric. He thinks Eric has ruined his career. Remember, Medellin was a big disaster. All this stuff. All this growth, you could say, as a character.
Yeah.
Then he gets a job with Martin Scorsese to make The Great Gatsby. And, you know, all the whole idea of him realizing maybe he's not that great of actor to begin with, all that's kind of thrown out, and now he's a movie star again.
Done.
And now he's going to play the Ferrari guy in the movie or whatever. And then, not only that, his entourage dated itself majorly by having Vince go on Jay Leno on The Tonight Show, which now it's Conan, and it's been that way for a while. Couldn't they have foreseen this, maybe?
Why would they ever bother doing that?
Not only that, Ari's all excited because they just landed the guy who runs My Name is Earl on NBC.
Yes,
hey,
Greg Garcia.
Yeah, Greg Garcia dated the show's canceled entourage. Yeah. But let's check out this first clip where Vince goes on Jay Leno, and this scene is just painful.
The guy still passed you.
Yeah, but keep it between us. I bribed him with a couple premiere tickets.
Oh, come on!
Oh, yeah, Vinny, he goes to get his driver's license, Bill. Hey, that's exciting.
That was so funny.
And he's a bad driver.
Be cautious.
So, you didn't get your license till, well, how old are you anyway?
Well, my mom couldn't afford to get me a car growing up, so.
Oh. So you were poor?
Milk it, honey, milk it.
We were rich in love.
Rich in love.
True that.
He's doing great.
So why not?
They had nothing for Johnny Drama to do on this episode. There was even a scene on the set where he's like, hey, we're going to go all night, Johnny. And he was like, okay, I'm good for that. I love night shoots. And then that was it. They had nothing for him to do.
It just, yeah, even with Eric, they have to bring back Sloane.
Yeah, which, by the way, is my favorite part of the show, is Sloane. Just give her own show. Because she's pretty to look at, and I don't think for a minute she would be interested in this douche, Eric, the whole idea is she's got a friend who's got this great deal on a house. Maybe you could move out of the house with the boys, and he's afraid to tell Vinny because Vinny doesn't like to be alone. And, you know, why couldn't we have seen the making of the movie with Martin Scorsese, maybe? I don't know.
No, that would be too interesting, and Scorsese would be too busy to do that.
Yeah, you're right about that. But
he's like, yeah, I promised to do one episode. Leave me alone.
Yeah. But the thing is, I know the show's a comedy, I guess. You know, it's slight drama. No, it's comedy. It's just a silly show or whatever. But I like when they have at least partial storylines. The main crux of the storyline was Lloyd wants a promotion from Ari.
Yeah.
Am I right? Let's go ahead and check out
this
scene.
Everybody wants to move forward.
Right. This is all about the boys. They're growing up. Turtle, he's dating Jamie Lynn Consigliere. And they're in the bathtub together. That's very realistic, Bill.
Smoking pot.
Yeah. When Entourage decides, this is what they should have said when they create. When we're desperate enough where we give Turtle a relationship, we need to just cancel the show.
Yeah.
But here's Lloyd getting pissed off at Ari. Let's check this out.
You're drinking in the middle of the day?
Yeah, well, they do it on Mad Men all the time, and they're pretty successful.
That was in the 60s. By the time they get to season 4 in the 70s, they'll all have liver and heart disease.
Not us. This tandem is unstoppable.
This new team is thriving.
Glad to see somebody is.
What, are you sulking, Lloyd?
No. I'm steaming. Steaming mad because I tried to talk with you earlier, and you essentially ignored me.
Are we not in a meeting?
I don't know what you're in, but you're acting like you're in a bar.
I don't like your tone, Lloyd.
Do you have any plan to promote me?
I hadn't even thought about
it. Well, you need to.
Lloyd.
Ari, promote me, or I'm leaving you.
Leaving me? Where would you go?
To another agency.
Another agency? Lloyd, you're going to have to start all over again. You know that.
Well, then I'll go work for my father.
What, in a dry cleaner's?
My father has a winery in Napa.
I don't think sodomy is legal in Napa, Lloyd.
Every time I have broached this subject over the years, you have responded with some wise-ass comment. The time has come. I want to know if this is going to happen. I want to know when. And I want to know today.
I will not be strong-armed, Lloyd.
You just were, Arigold.
Tough queer.
You know, the only part that cracked me up is that Lloyd drives like a one of those rice burner cars. That's all.
Yeah, I love that. He pulls up to Ari's house in the middle of the night, and he's got one of those like three different color rice burners.
And you know, he makes Lloyd wait out until the middle of the night. Then he comes out and tells him he's going to basically haze him, I guess, for
100 days.
For 100 days until he'll let him become an agent or whatever. So that ought to be great. But I'm just
And then we get the cliched Lucky Man song to Vinny arriving home alone.
Yeah, the lights are
Everybody's
off.
Everybody's gone out on their own doing something else.
You know, Vince has always been the least interesting character on the show. It's always been, you know, Ari and Lloyd show or whatever, but not even that could save it this week.
No.
This was the premiere, and I thought it was all flat. It was just kind
of
like,
hell, even whenever Turtle got involved in the whole record label thing was more interesting than anything that's going on now.
But at least make it where, okay, if you're going to get where Eric is still in once Sloan, you know, should not, you know, maybe turn into something where he can't get back with her, she's not interested, and he's got to win her over, but she's like, okay, come on in. And there's just like nothing there either, yeah. You know?
It's, you know,
like,
what would make the show better? Kill one of them off violently.
Yeah, I want Turtle to die in a car crash or something.
Yeah.
Bring them all together. Better yet, Vince dies in a car wreck and they don't have any money anymore.
There you go.
Because they already did the thing where they were broke, but they weren't really...
Oh, yeah,
really...
they moved back to New York. Shit, they already did that.
But, you know, I wanted to see this. Vince to realize he's not that good an actor and have to maybe learn how to act or something. I don't know. Something.
Yeah, that would be cool. Go back to acting school, like the fallen star having to regain... You know, don't skip that shit over.
But no, he got a Scorsese movie and he's successful again. And, you know, he meets Sloan's friend. She's like, I don't want to have a movie star one night stand. And then cut to them having sex in the car. Okay, great.
Well, maybe after the Scorsese movie, he'll make Max Payne and end up getting the shitter again.
Yeah. I got to mention that also we've been watching Hung with Thomas Jane. And I'm waiting for the show to grab me by the balls and entertain me, but it's not doing it.
I want to be hung after watching that show.
Like this.
No. But let's talk about True Blood, because that show knows how to entertain. Then my high gets sucked out of me by Entourage.
Yep.
But Sookie and Bill, they arrive in Dallas. I thought that was really cool. Because, you know, I have to say that I have read the book that this Dead in Dallas, that this kind of
you
season...
You cheater!
Is. But, hey, I thought the book was really good or whatever. But they've changed a lot of things, so Alan Ball's tricked it up. But this is where it got like the book, them arriving in Dallas. I thought this was cool. But what's interesting is now Jessica, who's not even in the books, is there. Or she's not in any of the books I've read so far.
Who I really, really like now.
And, yeah, he's teaching her how to glamour. And what's cool about that is it also shows us how they glamour. You know, it's teaching the audience at the same time.
Yeah.
And she's glamoring the guy into saying funny things out loud and all that. But also, Jason is getting in good with, what's the name of Steve and...
I want to say Sarah, but I know it's not.
Yeah, I think it is Sarah.
Is it?
Yeah. I'm going to say yeah. And he's hanging out with them. And do you like that little kind of dream sequence where she's like dancing all sexy?
Yeah, where she's cooking out and he's she's dancing like a stripper.
Yeah. And so he's all in love with her or something. He's in lust with her. I don't know what's going on there. But what's cool is they revealed to him that they're recruiting him for their sun soldiers. Soldiers of the sun.
Soldiers of the sun, the elite.
And I thought it was interesting. He was talking about, like, silver bullets, that'll just wound a vampire. But wooden bullets, that'll make them explode. It's just like driving a stake through their heart. And I thought that was pretty cool. I was like, wooden bullets? I never thought about that, right?
Yeah, but how... it would have to be petrified wooden bullets.
Yeah, I guess so. And I started thinking...
The wood would catch fire and shatter.
I guess it would have to be a specially made bullet of some kind. I don't know.
Yeah.
But also...
Maybe they could get that one vampire from Underworld to make them.
But you and I were talking... Oh, God. But you and I were talking about how the least interesting storyline right now is the Tara and Marianne, because we're interested in what's going on with Godric the Vampire in Dallas.
Yeah.
And they keep cutting back to people dancing around and their sex craze.
Yeah, having the Matrix Revolutions rave.
Or Zion, hear me! I always remember that. But the chick starts eating dirt and stuff. That got kind of weird, didn't it?
Yeah, it's like they all just start, their eyes turn black and they basically go insane and find pleasure in eating dirt.
But one thing that I thought was kind of creepy is, you know, Tara realizes there's something off, so she's now moving in with Sookie. I thought it was creepy how they showed up for her birthday, but they did it in a way where they scared the shit out of her first, like sneaking up. And then, you know, invite all these people over. I don't know what's going on there, but...
What was weird to me is who did she think it was? Why would she think that somebody...
I don't know.
Like, I don't think they established that very well. Like, what is she afraid of?
I think what it was is her intuition was she was in danger. And then it was Marianne. What does that tell you? Like, oh, it's just Marianne. But wait, why did I feel like I was in danger? It's because you are, Tara.
Ah, very smart of you.
And then, you know, I just saw the Jason stuff. It's funny how he's such a dumb guy, but you root for him, you know?
Yeah, you don't want to see anything bad happen to
him. Remember they're arguing about the first vampire? Well, I don't think Lazarus was the first vampire. I think Jesus was, because he was resurrected. And I forget what he said about premeditated, or he said like...
Yeah, he said...
premedicated.
Maybe evil's... making the premedicated choice to be an asshole.
Yeah, that's the definition of evil, but he said premedicated. Yeah. I love that. But here's a great moment here where Bill talks to Erica. Why are you so concerned about this Godric? Let's check it out. Hey, that's a pretty good Bill impression, wasn't it?
That was excellent.
I admire you, Southern twitch. It takes a real vampire to admit you cannot protect this human.
And it takes a true monster to not care about anyone or anything other than himself.
I care about others.
You care about Godric. You have no obligations to Dallas or Texas. This is personal for you. Why?
I hope you'll enjoy your blood substitute, which is costing me $45.
Oh, I have no intention of drinking it. I just want you to pay for it.
Oh, you're so mature.
Answer the question. Why this allegiance to Godric?
He is much beloved by his subjects.
Only kings and queens have subjects, Eric, not sheriffs.
Godric could have been king of Texas had he wanted. He could have been king of any vampire territory anywhere. He is twice as old as I am and very powerful. There are none above him in the New World.
Well, if he's so powerful, how could they abduct him?
Now, that is what worries me. If one such as he can be taken by humans, then none of us is safe.
What can I give you to release Sookie from her agreement?
Nothing. And since you like humans so much, I think you would want to protect them. The vampires here, they're like cowboys. If they don't get Godric back, they'll want justice. They'll start attacking people.
Open aggression against humans, that's insane.
Well, it's Texas.
I'm very interested in what's going to happen next, Bill. So
yeah, I think I've got it figured out.
You do?
Yeah, I don't think Godric is actually missing. I think something's going on with... Never mind.
It sounds like somebody's been reading Wikipedia.
No! Is that on there?
No, I haven't read it, but...
Oh, you son of a bitch. Did you just spoil something for me?
No, I'm just saying that I've read the book is what I'm saying.
Oh, so I'm on the right path?
I don't know.
Oh, you liar.
Yeah. Oh, I guess it isn't funny.
Oh, let's do the news, Bill. What do you say? How have we done a 2-hour show already? What the hell? We need to go play Battlefield, man.
Seriously.
We got ripped off.
Hey, we're doing over a 2-hour show, man. No one's getting ripped off tonight.
Yeah, this is freaking bonus material.
It's barren, it's bleak, it's minimalist.
All right, Bill, what do we got in the news this week?
All right, Bellevue, Ohio, serious sexual harassment allegations against a local superintendent and his right-hand man dominated a school board meeting. They are suspended with pay now, but it could get worse. The Bellevue City School Board received numerous complaints against Superintendent, this is where it gets bad, William Bud Martin. It's never good when you have a middle name that doesn't match, or you have a nickname that doesn't match your name.
Yeah, Bud. Just call me Bud.
My name is William, but call me Bud.
With it wagging like this.
All right. News 11 has obtained a copy of the allegations. By law, the Bellevue School says it addressed allegations against the assistant to the superintendent for... Okay, this is where it gets weird. He wanted to have a wet T-shirt contest, says the office staff should attend it as a team, and various females that visit should have sexual activity with them.
What?
So I guess this guy is kind of a perv for the kids.
A gargantuan...
Allegations against Superintendent William Bud Martin includes comments about a meeting saying it was as much fun as the inside of a prom queen's thighs on prom night.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow, this guy's a scumbag.
And he referred to the female principal as his hottie honey.
Holy shit. Is this guy gonna...
Someone's an asshole!
Do you not even disrespect that way?
Wow.
So something tells me that him and his partner there are going to be fired.
I'm hoping so.
In Racine, the Oscar Mayer Wiener Mobile got itself into quite a pickle when it crashed into the Racine home Friday morning. Neighbors tell Fox 6 that the Wiener Mobile took a wrong turn and ended up on a dead-end street. While trying to get turned around, the woman driving the hot dog on wheels accidentally hit the gas instead of the brake. Oh, don't you just hate when that happens?
Hot dogs are slamming.
Yeah, this one did. Slammed right into a house.
Holy shit.
Officials say no one was injured in the crash. The Wienermobile was taken from the scene by a tow truck. Can you imagine being the tow truck driver that tows a Wienermobile?
Well, how'd you like to come home and there's a big wiener crash into your house?
A giant hot dog in my house.
My house has been violated.
I said I was hungry, but I'm not that hungry.
This is what you're eating for lunch?
No, shut up, Mary. It's a joke. It's not real hot dog you're eating.
Yeah, go downstairs.
Yeah, good Lord.
All right, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Deputies arrested Joel Lack on Wednesday. He's charged with stealing medication from a paramedics on the scene and impersonating a firefighter and interfering with an EMT. The fire department says Lack took narcotics from a medical helicopter. Jesus Christ! Medical helicopter and got away with a piece of medical equipment from the fire truck. There was a fatal accident at the scene. This kid sees it and goes, "Oh, okay, I'm gonna sneak into a." In all this confusion, I'm going to try to profit from this.
He's going to, like, raid their medicine cabinet or something?
Yeah, I mean, that's sick. So the EMS workers were on the scene tending to these two people that were killed by a drunk driver
in an
accident.
That's horrible.
And this kid goes, "Oh, okay, I'm going to sneak into this and I'm going to steal their drugs."
I'm wondering what kind of drugs they have in those. Like, what would they would have before they would get to, like, the hospital?
Well, it says he attempted to take a bag with narcotics in it from the helicopter. Some, painkillers, stuff like that that they would push. Probably morphine.
Yeah. That would definitely be something you'd want to do.
I don't want them cold when they get here.
Crews had to waste time finding it before they took off, and that's just the beginning of how the fire crews say Lack may have interfered. The firefighters say Lack showed a Tulsa Fire Department badge and claimed he was a volunteer for the department. So this, what an asshole. He looks like the kid in Terminator and in Star Trek, Anton Yelchin.
Oh, okay.
So maybe he could play him in the true crime story.
Glad to see somebody is.
Huh?
All right, Lincoln, Nebraska police say a 19-year-old man made up a story about being robbed to explain why he was walking around Wilderness Park in the nude Monday afternoon. Wow, that takes balls to do it in the middle of the day.
Three perfect balls.
Yes, Sando Hamilton.
Three?
Great name.
What's his name again?
Sando.
Sando. I like that.
The Amazing Sando. He was arrested and jailed Wednesday night on suspicion of making a false statement to police and indecent exposure. After he was seen naked in Wilderness Park Monday afternoon, he told police a man with a gun tried to rob him, but he had no money, so the robber took his clothes.
Wow, what a jerk robber.
Police now believe Hamilton took off his clothes because he was hot. He walked around naked for about an hour and then could not find his clothes.
Which kind of hot was he?
I think he was warm or...
Hey, yo, scumbag.
He wasn't, But he made up the story about being robbed because he forgot where his clothes were. I gotta say, it's kind of genius.
Totally. It's like, couldn't he just say, I don't have any clothes, I can't afford them, something like that?
Maybe, yeah, and then he wouldn't have been charged with lying to police officers.
Oh, there we go, we got some butt action happening.
Yeah!
What?
I have no idea. Prunedale, California, a stun gun had to
Where?
Be used to... Prunedale.
Oh, okay. Prunedale.
Prunedale.
All right.
A stun gun had to be used to subdue a man arrested Monday on suspicion of chasing his landlord around while nude and demanding oral sex from her.
Holy crap.
Jonathan Lowell, 49, was found to be under the influence of methamphetamines when deputies arrived at the home. Lowell Prunedale is accused of assaulting his roommate and then chasing his landlord around the home while nude and demanding oral sex from her, deputies said.
Another nude guy?
Yeah, I know. What's with the nude stuff? The summer just brings out the nudeness, I guess. while Lowell was under arrest in the backseat of the patrol car, deputies said he became combative and damaged a rear window. I guess he just really wanted oral sex.
I know where your mama parks your house!
Officers then used a stun gun to prevent Lowell from further injuring himself. So they stunned him in the backseat of the car?
It's like, boy, you're just gonna hurt yourself. We'll take care of it. We'll look after you.
And that's news for this week. That's all the crazy stories I could find. All
right, Bill. Thanks for doing the news this week. It was awesome.
Awesome.
Milk it, honey. Milk it.
What? What the hell is Debbie Mazar doing on that show?
Yeah, why? She's... Maybe they should kill her with Turtle.
Oh, shit. How are we going to do the DVD song? If Steven's listening, he's going to hate this. But here we go, Bill. Let's do some DVDs!
Let's do the DVDs, let's do the DVDs, let's do the DVDs, DVDs, DVDs! DVDs, HD, Blu-ray, stand up for the shot! DVDs!
How did I do?
Not bad, but I missed the oh hell yeah.
Oh, they're going shadow people, I was wrong, I did a bad job, Bill.
That's what happens. You know, you don't want to piss off the shadow people.
With it wagging like this.
Shut up, Barbara. You're disturbing me. I don't want to think about that. Do you, Bill?
Not particularly.
All right, Bill, what DVDs do we have this week?
All right, starting off with a Blu-ray, 300, The Complete Experience. I guess the Blu-ray has finally come up to the technology of HD DVD, and they're able to release the version that we got on HD DVD, what, 2 years ago?
Ah, yeah. And
where they have the blue screen picture-in-picture.
You know, Gerard Butler's pissing me off. He made this cool movie, and now he's doing all these chick flicks. What
I know.
Hell?
What's with all the freaking chick flicks, dude?
He's like, hey, I'm going to make a romantic comedy where I die or something. I don't know. What was that Hillary Swank movie?
What's that stupid movie coming out, Gamer or Game, where he's like... a first person shooter dude.
I don't know. I never did see Rock and Rolla. Wasn't he in that?
I hated it. I thought it was terrible, but there are people that liked it.
And now he's doing, I haven't heard of Gamer. I'm not sure what that is.
It's from the guys that did Crank.
Oh.
Get the f*** out.
Oh.
It's like a, he's like in a massively multiplayer online game that's a first person shooter, and he's controlled by a gamer, and he's trying to escape. It's weird.
You deserve to go home.
Oh. Okay.
Everybody deserves to go home.
Yeah.
It's not fair.
I don't like how that shit works.
All right, next is Coraline on DVD and Blu-ray.
Oh. Oh. Oh, that looked disturbing and interesting.
Yeah, I almost bought it, and then I thought better and put it on my Netflix queue.
Yeah, they're never going to send me another movie since I lost one, apparently.
No, they'll send you another one. They have no problem with that.
I guess it isn't funny.
Yeah, they better, because I mailed that son of a bitch.
Oh. But I'm not... I've heard that this is okay. Not, it's definitely not a kids movie.
So is this one of those Tim Burton type things where he thought of it while on the shitter, but other people made it actually?
No, this was actually written by Henry Selick.
Yes, that guy's a genius. So he's like buddies with Tim Burton, and
Written and directed. I don't think Tim Burton had anything to do with this one.
Oh,
because he's not even listed as a producer.
Just really don't think you got what it takes to do this challenge.
About the only thing it has on there is from the director of The Nightmare Before Christmas. That's it.
From the director of James and the Giant Peach.
I actually like that.
There's this one guy who does the voice to all these trailers, and he's like, from the director of, you know, he's like, I wish I knew who did that guy, because
he's
great.
He's got that. I think it's actually a faux English accent.
Yeah, he's like,
I don't think it's real.
Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone. And it's like, what? It's called the Sorcerer's Stone in America, because we don't know what a philosopher here is in America, apparently. Is that what
Well, apparently nobody ever heard of the Van Morrison song, Philosopher's Stone.
Oh, maybe that's what it is. Van Morrison was like, hey, I'm going to sue J.K. Rowling.
Hey, it's my song.
Oh, God. Oh. Where I used to work, I would hear that friggin' Van Morrison song. I'd just like, okay, put a bull in my friggin' head.
Yeah, I can't take much Van Morrison.
No, Brayden, no.
No.
Any of those songs, Moon Dance, I'll pass, thanks.
Oh, come on, man.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I've got to admit to it. Next DVD is The Great Buck Howard, starring John Malkovich and what the frick is his name?
Colin Hanks. Right.
And Steve Zahn's in it. I think even Tom Hanks makes it.
I believe this premiered on HDNet Movies. And
it did.
And I didn't get to record it.
I actually recorded it and never watched it. I even think that Griffin Dunn's in it briefly.
Awesome. So,
and he's just awesome.
Who's the director of this film?
Sean McGinley.
Oh.
I've heard that it's not particularly good.
Really?
Yeah, but I'll give it a chance because I love John Malkovich.
Little American Psycho-esque.
Oh, it is?
Oh. I highly doubt that.
Yeah.
Next DVD is for you TV fans, Hotel.
I love
season.
TV. Oh, with James Brolin.
Yes, and Connie Selica.
Oh, before she was ruined by John Tesh.
Tesh, yeah. I mean, I think I was like 5 years old when this came on TV, and I thought Connie Selica was hot then.
Oh, yeah, so, totally, yo.
I mean, just absolutely gorgeous. That long, dark hair, those blue eyes. Oh, so hot.
You're a freaking skank.
Whoa, no, Brayden, no.
No, Brayden, no.
Yeah. Nah. Yeah.
How dare you go there? Ugh.
You deserve to go home.
Yeah. I think they did the right thing yesterday, Bill, then.
Yeah, they did. And for you fans of absolutely torturous films in high definition, why not pick up Midnight Express?
Ooh. Da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. All right.
that movie for it's like it's so funny that I saw the movie after I had known about Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell, and that it uses that theme as its opening, that dun 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 dun. And so when I first saw Midnight Express and I heard that, it completely took me out of the movie. Like, I was like, holy shit, that's Coast to Coast AM. It ruined it for
Giorgio
me.
Giorgio Moroder, I mean, or something like that.
Yeah, I was just like, damn it. Why did Alan Parker and Oliver Stone, and they should sue Art Bell for
that,
ruining their movie.
That movie's very difficult to watch.
It is, and it's probably particularly difficult in high def.
Never smuggle drugs into Turkey.
There's a show on one of the like TLC or Discovery or something about jailed abroad, where it's always people that are caught in a bad situation that are conned into trying to smuggle drugs out of a country, and it's basically Midnight Express every week.
That dude is so screwed, man. You feel so bad for him. His family tries to do whatever they can to get him out of there. It's just really sad. And
yeah, it is.
And I don't feel like watching it again ever for the rest of my life.
It's not one of those movies you want to watch over and over.
But it does have a good ending, though, right? Spoiler alert!
It's so much fun.
Yeah. No, man.
It's such a large smile as you will. The credits roll. But I just remember, it had a great cast. John Hurt and Randy
Quaid. The sadistic guard even is Bluto from Popeye the Movie.
Yeah, you're right. I forgot about that.
He's large, Bill.
Yeah, he is large. Ugh. And in charge.
Thank you, Shadow People. You're really...
Attempted a horrible cliche.
Yeah.
I thought that was epic. All right, Prison Break, the final season.
Not us.
Oh, wow.
Or the final break, I'm sorry.
This was a lot of people's guilty pleasures. Like, yeah, I know it's a stupid show, but I can't stop watching it. But I never really got into it.
What cracks me up is that the entire first season was like, he's got the entire plan tattooed on him. Well, what happened after the first season and they actually broke out? Now he's covered in a useless tattoo.
Well, he wore long sleeve shirts a lot also cover up the fact that he wasn't wearing his fake tattoos anymore. The actor. I think he even got burned in a messed up part of his tattoos at one point.
How'd it get burned?
I don't know, but it was...
How'd it get burned?
I don't know, Bill, but it was really freaking me out, you know?
I don't like how that shit works.
All right, moving on. Pushing Daisies, the complete second season on DVD and Blu-ray.
Really?
Yes!
And, Bill, you love this show.
I really did love this show. It was just like, it was one of those shows... You know the feeling you got whenever you sat down to watch Ed? Just kind of like comfort. You know, it was a comfort show. You know, you knew you'd watch it and you'd laugh and smile and just it would be goofy. And it's one of those type of shows. It's just really, really enjoyable.
How'd it get burned? How'd it get burned? How'd it get burned?
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, I watched
Better Late Than Never.
I feel so bad about this, Bill, because I had like every episode of season one on my DVR. I watched like the first three episodes. You know, I was just watching all this stuff. And then one day I was like, I got to delete these to make room. And that's what happened.
You can always rent them one day.
Yeah. Because
that's how I justify deleting stuff that I know I'll never watch. Just go, it'll be on DVD. I'll rent it one day.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. I love that. I guess there are fans of Stargate SG-1 and those.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know. Where do they get the money to continue doing these?
I don't know, because the new Stargate Universe is coming on.
Well, I guess to capitalize on that, they're releasing Stargate SG-1, Children of the Gods, Final Cut. I guess it was a movie. like a TV movie that they did. And now it's the final cut.
I don't like soft ass shit.
I didn't say it was soft, Tony.
You know, I worked with this guy, Chris, who would tell me all the time. I would kind of like make a little joke. He goes, dude, it's a good show. If you would just take the time to watch it, you would see. I was like, dude, I'm sorry for offending you, okay? He's like, no, just watch an episode. You'll get hooked. Trust me. It's like, it's not going to happen.
Okay, next DVD, possibly one of the worst sounding films I've ever read the summary for. Super Capers, a direct-to-video film. It says, would-be superhero Ed Gruberman, who possesses no superpowers, must join a team of misfit heroes in training known as the Super Capers. Having only faith, Gruberman must travel through time to uncover an evil plot involving some gold bullion, a fiery femme fatale, and a criminal mastermind with a dark secret.
A gigantic, a gargantuan.
Yeah.
So,
and listen to this cast. I feel bad for every person I'm about to read the name for. Adam West. Awesome. Michael Rooker. Clint Howard. June Lockhart. Christine Lakin. Tom Sizemore. It's like, wow.
This is sounding really good.
June freaking Lockhart. I thought she was dead.
This is total Armageddon.
All right, I guess they have to put this one in T because it starts with this, but so, This American Life Season 2, the Showtime version of this radio show.
Which is also on Netflix, so nobody buy the DVD, okay?
Yeah, it's...
No, it's on Netflix streaming is what I meant to say.
I like to check it out once in a while because I always enjoy it whenever I watch it. I don't watch it regularly, but when I do, I enjoy it.
Yeah, me too. I'll catch it every once in a while. Every once in a while, there'll be like something really sad, and I'll just be bummed out, you know?
Yeah, and that Ira Glass doesn't help. He's so, like, monotonous and, like, unfeeling.
Yeah, he is.
Like, dude, Ira, can you cheer up a little bit?
He's definitely got a good thing going there. It's like... You know, that's where I learned, like, there's a certain formula to the way you do your show, and you don't have to ever change it. Like, here on Nowhere in Mulberry, you don't have to change it. You just do the same thing every time. You know?
Oh, wow. Rowdy Gina Chatroom said they got it on Netflix, but there's no narration from Ira Glass.
Weird.
So I guess maybe they didn't have the rights or something?
What?
That's bizarre.
I just really don't think you got what it takes to do this challenge.
So maybe you have to rent the DVD, or maybe he's not even on the DVD. Who knows?
Yous are the ones without willpower, not us.
Huh? That's weird. Okay, and final DVD of the week,
The
biggest release, Watchmen, the director's cut on DVD, and most importantly, Blu-ray.
Interesting.
Now,
let me ask you this. This is my first question about this, Watchmen. Is how much is this thing going to retail for?
I think you can get it for about $25 on Amazon, Watchmen. Maybe less.
Wait, what was that?
Watchmen.
Oh, Watchman. I'm sorry, Bill. You said it wrong. It's Watchman.
Watchman, sorry.
Watchmen, the movie.
Let me look here. Amazon.com is listing the Blu-ray Watchmen Director's Cut for $20.49.
Watchmen, the movie.
Now, okay, is this going to have a theatrical cut and director's cut later kind of thing?
I know they're releasing the theatrical cut on DVD, on standard DVD, in a single disc edition. I don't know about the Blu-ray. I'm going to have to look at the details here to see if there's like a seamless branching thing, but somehow I doubt it.
Malarkey.
No, it doesn't look... It looks like this is just the full director's cut.
Watchmen.
Sweet. I can't wait to crank that sucker up.
Which is about 30 minutes longer, but it does not have the Black Freighter added in. That'll come later.
Okay, yeah. I knew
that'll be the ultimate cut, which comes out later in the year.
Yeah,
probably around December.
I knew they were holding out so we would double dip. I knew that was going to happen.
If they're not going to make it via seamless branching on the ultimate cut, I don't mind. You know, I don't mind buying the director's cut and then buying the ultimate cut for the...
Right. But, I think here's what I'll do. I'll Netflix, if possible, they ever send me another movie, the director's cut, and then get the ultimate cut like for like Christmas or something.
That's probably a good idea.
Yeah, I think that's what's good. I think that's what I'm going to do. Yeah.
Oh, come on, man.
Huh?
Yeah, I have a problem with double dipping. I'll double dip it. I just can't. I need that extra dip.
Oh, you're so mature.
And that's DVDs for this week.
All right, Bill. Thanks for doing the DVDs this week.
Two piping hot pepperoni pizzas.
Huh?
Delicious.
Awesome. Thanks for doing the DVDs this week, Bill.
You're welcome. And you know what? My friend Andy from high school says it sucks, no theatrical release. Quite frankly, I know the theatrical release was compromised. I don't want the theatrical release.
This is the version that should have been out, but the reason it was released theatrically with it not the director's cut is because studios are like, oh, it's too long. We need...
Yeah, they wanted to fit more showings into the day, so they made him cut 30 minutes off.
This is the version you were supposed to see, so the theatrical version will not exist anymore.
Yeah, the theatrical version does not exist to me at all.
Girl, I got you.
Because I honestly felt like it was lacking some serious stuff.
That's one thing that we talked about on our Watchmen talk when we saw it, is that it felt like there was another version of the film that we needed to see.
Yeah.
We didn't like, I'm fulfilled. I never need to see anything else. No, it didn't feel like that. It felt like, you know, maybe this will feel like more of a finished film if we see those scenes. You know what I'm saying?
I think it will. I honestly think it will. And if it doesn't, I'll be even more angry. But oh well.
All right.
I already
Bill?
Saw the scene with, you know, Hollis Mason being attacked by the knotheads.
Oh, cool.
Online, and it's amazing.
Sweet. I can't wait
to
see it.
So I'm really looking forward to watching it.
Nice. Well, we'll talk about it after we watch it.
Yeah.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week. Try the veal. And
this is total Armageddon.
Oh my god, it took a turn for the worse.
I think they might have recorded that shadow person groaning from a like a public bathroom. It sounds like somebody's having like a really hard time.
Hey buddy, you okay in there? Oh, okay, well, how about a courtesy flush over there?
Rock back and forth a little bit.
Wow. All right, everyone, that was episode 171 of Nowhere in Mulberry. Thank you for listening. I'm doing my robot impression, Bill.
Thank you for listening.
If you would like to go to nowhereinmulberry.com and check it out, and go to the Nowhere in Mulberry forum that we share there with the Hollywood Saloon, join up and give us comments about the show and about The Gunslinger and how excited you are for the next book show. It's going to be awesome, The Drawing of the Three. I'm right smack in the middle of that book now. I just passed page 200. It's awesome. I can't wait to talk about that and all that stuff. But also, send us an email at nimpodcast@gmail.com. Also, send us a voicemail at 1-206-202-3491. I'd appreciate it. And, you know, here's something that I noticed recently. Bill, I need to get new headphones because when I'm talking, my ears move and it makes the plastic kind of make this pop sound.
Ah.
And I've noticed now while editing the show, I hear the pop. Like, as like right now I'm moving and it'll move the plastic in my earphones. It's driving
that just won't do.
It's driving me friggin' bonkers, dude. It's crazy. So I'll do something about that. Yeah, no one cares about any of this. I don't know why I'm bringing it up. No, everyone wants to know, right, Bill?
What is that popping sound?
Yeah, no one noticed it until I brought it up. Damn it.
Bonkers.
Yeah. So, yeah. Bill, we used to give shout-outs to people in the chat room. Let's do that tonight. Hey, everybody, who's in the chat room, Bill?
All right, we got Credo, Afraid Not, M. Daddy-O, Not Andy, PCZ Steven.
Who's that guy?
I have no idea. I hear he's an asshole. Rowdy G, Udinasha, and, of course, our boy, Zell, 2501.
Oh, hey, Steven.
Hey, how's it
Played
going?
Played some Battlefield 1943 for a couple hours this week with him.
Yeah.
That's a great fun. Thing.
It was, totally. I don't know how I found the free time, Bill, but
made it.
When Bad Company was out, I was seriously addicted to that thing. Like, any free moment I got, I would hop on to play. I remember it was so bad, like, Heather would be like, I'm going to go take a shower. I would hop on, and I'd play for 20 minutes, like, in the maps or whatever. It's basically death matches, right? You're playing... So, Murder Simulator is what the game is.
Yes, it is.
First-person shooter, you're fighting in the war. And Battlefield 1943, it's the Japanese versus the Americans on Wake Island or the Guadalcanal. And you have those old weapons. It's
Iwo Jima.
It's so addicting, Bill. It's so much fun. And
join us.
Last Friday, after the show, I think finally Heather's like, are you still playing that game? And I looked at the clock, and luckily they closed the servers, remember?
Yeah, that or we would have kept playing, I think.
It was like 4 a.m. And I was like,
yeah,
oh my.
Shut down the servers at 5 a.m. East Coast time, and we had to quit.
And, you know, it's a good thing that happened, because I probably would have seen the sun coming up, going like, what? Or something
like
that.
Yeah, I started to see it. You know, that twilight was starting to shine through my window. I was like, oh, no.
Awesome. I want to do it again.
Dumbest, yes, stupidest.
Hey, what is he talking about?
Now that I know how to fly a plane in it, I'm good.
Ah! Oh, that scared me. Sorry. Ah!
No, look
shoot
out! It!
Hey, that's what we're going to do. Instead of zombies in the next show... Shadow people versus vacuum cleaners, Bill. What do you say?
There you go. We got our next special show.
Yeah. That's the... Oh, my God, Bill, look out! Oh, that was for you, Luke. All right, everybody, that's the show. We got to end sometime. See you later.
You deserve to go home.
Oh. What if I'm already at home?
Yeah, thank God. That would be really uncomfortable if you weren't.
Bye, Steven. Careful on your motorcycle.
We got ripped off.
Oh, come on, man.
Yeah. Oh, I guess it isn't funny.